ജയം ശ്രീപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിവ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തര ശതശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ അഭയചരണാരവിന്ദ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത ഗോസ്വാമി മഹാരാഷ്ട്രയിലെ പ്രഭുപാദിക്ക് ജയം ശ്രീലാപ്രവിഷ്ട വിഷ്ണുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിവ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തര ശതശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ ഭക്തസിദ്ധാന്ത സരസ്വതി മഹാരാഷ്ട്രയിലെ പ്രഭുപാദിക്ക് അനന്തകോടി വൈഷ്ണവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് നാമാചാര്യ ശ്രീ ഹരിദാസ് ഠാക്കൂർക്ക് പ്രേം സഹോ ശ്രീ കൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭു നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീ അദ്വൈത ഗദാധാര ശിവസാധികൗര ഭക്തവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് ശ്രീ ശ്രീ രാധാ കൃഷ്ണ ഗോപഗോപിനാഥ ശ്യാമകുണ്ട് രാധാകുണ്ഡഗിരി ഗോവർദ്ധാനയ്ക്ക് വൃന്ദാവൻ ധാമയ്ക്ക് മായപ്പൂർ ധാമയ്ക്ക് മധുരപുരി ധാമയ്ക്ക് ജഗന്നാഥ്പുരി ധാമയ്ക്ക് ദ്വാരകാപുരി ധാമയ്ക്ക് ഗംഗമായിക്ക് യമുനമായിക്ക് തുളസിദേവിക്ക് ഭക്തിദേവിക്ക് സാമവേദ ഭക്തവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് ഗൗർ പ്രേമാനന്ദ ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ടു അസംബ്ലി ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ടു അസംബ്ലി ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ടു അസംബ്ലി ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ശ്രീ ഗുരുവൻ ഗൗരംഗ ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ശ്രീ പ്രഭുപാദ നമോ വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതലേശ്വരി ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമിനിധി നാമിനി നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതി ദേവീം ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരിണി നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യാദേശതാരിണി ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ സംസാരസാഗരേ മഗ്നം ദീനം മാം കരുണാനിധേ കർമ്മഗ്രാഹഗൃഹീതാംഗം മാം ഉദ്ധരഭവാർണവാൻ ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതാഖ്യോയം പ്രത്യക്ഷ കൃഷ്ണമേവ ഹി സ്വീകൃതോസി മയാനാഥ മുക്ത്യർത്ഥം ഭവ സാഗരേ മനോരഥേ മദീയോയം സഫലാ സർവദാ ത്വയാ നിർവിഘ്നേനൈവ കർത്തവ്യം ദാസോഹം ഭവ കേശവ ഭവേ ഭവേ യഥാ ഭക്തി പാദയോർസ്തവ ജായതേ തഥാ കുരുഷ്വ ദേവേശ നാഥസ്ത്വം നോ യത പ്രഭോ നാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം യസ്യ സർവഭാവ പ്രണാശനം പ്രണാമോ ദുഃഖശമനം സം നമാമി ഹരിം പരം ജന്മാദ്യസ്യ യദോന്വയാദിതരത ചാത്തേഷ്വവിജ്ഞസ്വരാൻ തേനേ ബ്രഹ്മഹൃദായ ആദികവയേ മുഹ്യന്തി യത്സൂരയാം തേജോ വാരിമൃതം യഥാ വിനിമയോ യത്ര ത്രിസർഗോ മൃഷാ നാംനാ സ്വേന സദാ നിരസ്തഗുഹകം സത്യം പരം ധീമഹി ധർമ്മപ്രോജിതകൈതവോത്രപരമോ നിർമ്മത്സരാണാം സദാ വേദ്യം വാസ്തവമത്ര വസ്തു ശിവദം താപത്രയോന്മൂലനം ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതേ മഹാമുനികൃതേ കിം മാ പരൈശ്വര സദ്യോ ഹൃദ്യവരുദ്ധ്യേത്രകൃതി ശുശ്രൂഷുവേ തൽക്ഷണാൽ നിഗമകൽപതരോർഗലിതം ഫലം ശുഭമുഖാദമൃതദ്രവസംയുതം പിബത ഭാഗവതം രസമാലയം മുഹുരഹോരസികാഭുവി ഭാവുകാഹ സച്ചിദാനന്ദരൂപായ വിശ്വോൽപത്യാദിഹേതവേ പാപത്രയ വിനാശായ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ വയം നുമാ യം പ്രവ്രജന്തമനുഭേദമഭേദകൃത്യം ദ്വൈപായനോ വിരഹകാതരമാജുഹാവ പുത്രേതി തന്മയതയത്തരവോഭിനേതു തം സർവഭൂതഹൃദയം മുനിമാനഥോസ്മി യസ്വാനുഭാവമഖില ശ്രുതിസാരമേകം അധ്യാത്മദീപമതിദിദീർഷദാന്തമോന്മം സംസാരിണാം കരുണയാഹ പുരാണ ഗുഹ്യം തം വ്യാസസൂനുമുപയാമി ഗുരും മുനീനാം നാരായണം നമസ്കൃത്യം നരം ചൈവ നരോത്തമം ദേവീം സരസ്വതീം വ്യാസം തതോ ജയമുദീരയേ കമനീയ കിശോരമുഗ്ധമൂർത്തേ കളവേണു കൊണിതാതൃദാനനെന്തോ മമ വാചി വിജൃംഭദാമുരാരേ മധുരീനാഹനികാവി കാവികാവി നമഃം വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതലേ ശ്രീമതേ ഭക്തിവേദാന്തസ്വാമിനിധിനാമിനേ നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതി ദേവീം
ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരണേ
നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യാദേശധാരിണേ ശ്രീമൽ ഗുരുചരണാരവിന്ദാഭ്യാം നമ വന്ദേ നന്ദവ്രജസ്ത്രീണാം പാദരേണുമഭീഷ്ടശ യാസാം ഹരികതോദ്ഗീതം പുനാധി ഭുവനത്രയം ഗോപീചരണാരവിന്ദ പരമാണവേ നമ പീതാംബരം കരവിരാജിത ചക്രശംഖം കൗമോദകീ സരസിജം കരുണാ സമുദ്രം രാധാസഹായമതിസുന്ദരമന്ദഹാസം വാതാലയേഷ മനിഷം ഹൃദി ഭാവയാമി കോമളം കൂജയൻ വേണു ശ്യാമലോയം കുമാരക വേദവേദ്യപരം ബ്രഹ്മ ഭാസദാംബുരതോ മമ മോകം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കും ലംഘയതേ ഗിരിം യൽകൃപാതമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ നമ ശ്രീമതി രാധയായേ നമ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദ നാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ ഓം പാതായ പ്രതിബോധിതാം ഭഗവതാം നാരായണേന സ്വയം വ്യാസേന ഗ്രഥിതാം പുരാണ മുനിനാം മധ്യേ മഹാഭാരതം അദ്വൈതാമൃതവർഷിണീം ഭഗവതീം അഷ്ടാദശാധ്യായിനീം അമൃത്വാമനുസന്ദദാമി ഭഗവത്ഗീതേ ഭവദ്വേഷിണീം നമോസ്തു ദേ വ്യാസവിശാലബുദ്ധേ ഫുല്ലാരവിന്ദായതപത്രനേത്രം യേന ത്വയാ ഭാരതതൈലപൂർണ പ്രജ്വാലിതോ ജ്ഞാനമയ പ്രദീപം പ്രപന്നവാരിജാതായ തോത്രവേത്രൈകബാണയേ ജ്ഞാനമുദ്രായ കൃഷ്ണായ ഗീതാമൃതദുഹേ നമഃ സർവോപനിഷദോ ഗാവോ ദുഃഖാ ഗോപാലനന്ദന പാർത്ഥോ വത്സസുധീർഭോക്താ ദുഃഖം ഗീതാമൃതം മഹത് വസുദേവസുതം ദേവം കംസചാനൂരമർദനം ദേവകീ പരമാനന്ദം കൃഷ്ണം വന്ദേ ജഗദ്ഗുരും ഭീഷ്മദ്രോണതട ജയദ്രഥജല ഗാന്ധാരനീലോൽപല ശല്യഗ്രാഹവതീ കൃപേണ വഹനി കർണേന വേലാകുല അശ്വത്ഥാമാ വികർണ ഘോരമകരാ ദുര്യോധനാവർത്തിനി സോതീർണ ഖലു വാണ്ഡവൈരണ നദീ കൈവർത്തക കേശവ പാരാശര്യവജ സരോജമലം ഗീതാർത്ഥഗന്ധോൽക്കടം നാനാഖ്യാനകേസരം ഹരികഥാ സംബോധനാബോധിതം ലോകൈ സജ്ജനഷൽപദൈരഹരഹപ്രേമീയമാനം മുദ ഭൂയാത് ഭാരത പങ്കജ കലിമല പ്രധ്വംസിന ശ്രേയസേ മൂകം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കും ലംഘയതേ ഗിരിം യൽകൃപാതമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം യം ബ്രഹ്മാ വരുണേന്ദ്രരുദ്രമരുദസ്ത്വന്വന്തി ദിവ്യൈസ്തവൈർ വേദൈർ സാംഗപദൈർ ക്രമോപനിഷദൈർ ഗായന്തി യം സാമഗാഃ ധ്യാനാവസ്ഥിത തദ്ഗതേന മനസാ പശ്യന്തി യം യോഗിനോ യസ്യാന്തം ന വിദുസുരാസുരഗണേ സേവായ തസ്മൈ നമഃ
So yesterday we started with this with the 14th chapter, which is called Gunatraya Vibhaga Yoga. It's in three modes of material nature. I'm sure you may have noticed that this first verse itself, Krishna is saying there to Arjuna, Param Bhuya Pravakshyami Jnananam Jnanam Uttamam and yajñātvā munayaḥ sarve param siddhimido gadāḥ. If you have been reading Bhagavad Gita regularly, or if you are listening to Bhagavad Gita carefully, you would have noticed that same way Krishna starts many chapters, is it not? You can see in the 7th chapter also Krishna says, I am going to talk to you about the highest of the knowledge. by knowing which you don't want to know anything further. In the same way, in the 9th chapter also, Rajavidya Rajagufyam Yogam, also Krishna says exactly the same way. Same thing in the 13th chapter also, Krishna says this is the highest knowledge. And now again Krishna is saying, I'm going to talk to you about this knowledge, after which you don't have to know anything further. Why is it like this? So you may wonder, oh, in that chapter also he said like this. Here also he's again saying the same thing. Another chapter also repeats the same thing. And everywhere it is spoken in a different way. The reason is, Brahma Vidya is one. Knowledge of the self is one. While presenting it, Krishna is looking at from different sides of it. How this Brahma Vidya will get into our heart, that is the purpose behind it. Like yesterday, we were talking about this, that the two people, one person is following Bhakti Margam, another person is following Jnana Margam. Now, you will notice one thing, that in their realization, they are experiencing the same thing, in their realizations, because truth is experienced in the same way. That is why in the Bhagavatam it is mentioned, Brahmedi, Paramatmedi, Bhagavanidi, Shabdyade. Is it not? Shabdam is Brahma, Paramatma, Bhagavan, but in realization it is one and the same. That is similarly, this Brahma Vidya, when Krishna is presented in the Bhagavad Gita, in different chapters Krishna will present it in a different way. But when you come to experience level, it will all be the same. Whether you realize it through the 7th chapter, or realize it through the 9th chapter, or the 13th chapter, or the 14th chapter, once it is realized, that truth is the same experience in Anubhavam, it is one and the same. That is why, Moksha Karana Samagriyam Bhaktireva Gariyasi Swaswarupanu Anusandhanam Bhaktirit Abhidiyade. While Bhakti is being discussed, important point is that, are you in the following that process of Swaswarupanu Anusandhanam? What does that mean? Trying to find out who we are. Who are we? That pursuing that truth behind that, chasing that, to inquire about who we are, that is Swaswarupanu Anusandhanam, inquiring about oneself. And that is called bhakti. That is bhakti. Swaswarupanu Anusandhanam Bhaktirit Abhidiyade. And Viveka Churam says, Moksha Karana Samagriyam Bhaktireva Gariyasi. Among all the processes of self-realization, bhakti is the topmost path, in the sense that majority of the people will have to follow that route. So there we have seen that knowing oneself, one's own swarupam, is bhakti. But for us, normally for ordinary people, when we talk to them about bhakti, they'll say, God is there, and I am serving Krishna, or I am serving the deity, I am serving Krishna's one particular form. That means there is a devotee and there is God, there is Krishna. And that is sadhana bhakti. In sadhana bhakti level, jiva has to continue this worship of Krishna in the sadhana level. So if you see into the bhashyam, you will see there in many places, if you continue the sadhana bhakti for a long period of time, and Krishna, who is being worshipped, he will at some point in time, when that sadhana bhakti stage comes to perfection, at some point in time, through someone, Krishna will give the instructions to that person about the nature of the soul, about his identity. In other words, this Brahma Vidya will be given to him through somebody, which we don't know who it will be, but through someone, when that person becomes perfect in his sadhana, one day Krishna will give that realization to him through somebody, of the knowledge of the self, in other words. So that is why Krishna is the Acharya himself. He comes through someone, and either through another individual, he will force that, he will give, reveal it to somebody, or and while living within this body itself, Krishna will give the opportunity to realize that truth, and it is at that time, after that realization, that Parabhakti or Nirguna Bhakti, what Krishna calls it, happens. The Bhakti what spoken in the Bhagavad Gita, that happens after that. So, so in the Bhagavadam, while Sanat Kumara Maharshi's instructions to Pridhu, he talks about this, what, that stage of bhakti. What is that? Nirgunayo ratihi. That is how he says. Nirgunayo ratihi. At that stage, it is not under the three modes of material nature. While sadhana bhakti is performed, it is under the three modes of material nature. But when it comes to nirguna bhakti, it is not under three modes of material nature. That is the difference. You are free, released from the modes of nature. If you look into the fourth canto, you will see this mentioned there, that this is Sanaga, the four Sanaga Sanandana, four Sanagadigal, or the Sanaga Maharshi, Sanaga Sanandana, Sanadana and Sanat Kumara Maharshi, they came to instruct Prithu. You know that Prithu Maharaj was given instructions by the four Kumaras. So Prithu's final days, this after these instructions, when Prithu was instructed by the Kumaras, with that Prithu's spiritual life became perfect. Then afterwards Prithu decided to give up the performing sacrifices, everything. And finally, the knowledge of the self was instructed to Prithu by the Kumaras. So I mentioned yesterday, Kumaras are the first descendants from Brahma, isn't it? They come from Brahma's heart. Manasaputras they are called. Therefore, when we say in Bhagavad Gita, while talking about the Kumaras, we say, Jnana Yogena Sanghyanam Karma Yogena Yoginam. In that verse, that Jnana Yogena Sanghyanam is starting from Kumaras. From Kumaras. So if you look into the verse 21, in the 22nd chapter of the 4th canto, Krishna is saying there, the Maitreya Maharshi is saying there, Sanat Kumara Maharshi is being quoted by Maitreya. Maitreya Maharshi is talking from about Sanat Kumara's instructions to Prithu. It says there, Shastre Shuyani Vasunishchito Onranam Kshemasya Sadregmashe Shuhetu Asangam Almavyadiriktam Almani Dridharadar Brahmani Nirgune Chaya. That is that verse. Dridharadar Brahmani Nirgune Chaya Shastre Shuyani Vasunishchito Onranam Kshemasya Sadregmashe Shuhetu Asangam Almavyadiriktam Almani Dridharadar Brahmani Nirgune Chaya. So, Shastram says that analpa vastu vairagyam. Vairagya means detachment from the vastu that is not the self, which is different from the self. That means to the world, to all other apara prakriti completely. Detachment from that. And he says, Kshemasa sadvigramisheshu hetu. Intense love for Atma. Intense love for Atma. What kind of Atma? Nirubhadiyam nirgunam. Nirguna means that untouched by the three modes of material nature. That kind of bhakti. Bhakti which is not touched by the modes of nature. And Shastra says, Dridha Radhir Brahmani Nirgunechaya. That Rati means that here that Bhakti, Dridha Radhir Brahmani Nirgunechaya. Nirgunam it is. It is not controlled by the modes of material nature anymore. So, normally Bhakti means, what is normal Bhakti? Saguna Sagaram. What is the difference? Difference is this, that said, Saguna Sagara means particular form and transcendental qualities and attachment in one, some relationship with that form. This is Sagunam Sagara. There, leelas, pastimes, all these things comes. Sagunam, sagaram, agar form and transcendental qualities. Attachment in that way, that bhakti is saguna bhakti. Nirgunam, the difference is, you have crossed all that stage, realization has come about Krishna's presence in every living being, and also Krishna's presence as Antaryami inside, and it is also outside the three modes of nature. In saguna bhakti, there is modes of nature present. But nirguna bhakti, there is no modes of nature present. So what it means is, it is not no contact with the three modes of material nature. That is what it means. So, but in this bhakti, nirguna bhakti, what is present there? All other transcendental nature, like shanti, full of shanti inside, karunyam or compassion inside, bliss, anandam, and whatever Krishna has spoken in the earlier chapters, abhayam, sattva, samshuddhi, all that qualities are present in the nirguna bhakti. Remember the list we have seen before? Abhaya sattva samshuddhir, jnana yoga vyavasthiti, dhanam, dhanascha, yajnascha, swadhyaya, stava, arjavam. It goes like that, isn't it? A whole list of qualifications. They are all present in the nirguna bhakti. In saguna bhakti, it may not be there. It may not be there. So those things which Krishna has spoken, this difference we must know between sagunam and nirgunam. Saguna bhakti is the bhakti that has happened, the word itself is indicating to us that it is based on the transcendental qualities of Krishna, attracted by that, and also attracted by the form. It is at that level only. It has not gone beyond than that. But when it comes to nirguna bhakti, it has gone beyond the form and the name, everything. It is in total realization of the Antaryami and Antaryami's presence in everything. Which is, in other words, if you remember, when we talked about the first class devotee, what he spoken about. That's exactly that. That sarvabhudeshu yappashet bhagavad bhavam almana bhudani bhagavad tesha savai bhagavadottama. First class devotees. Whereas saguna bhakti, saguna sagara bhakti, there is always attachment in modes of nature is present there. That means one's bhakti also can change according to the modes of nature. Sometimes your modes of nature is in sattugunam, your relationship with Krishna will be in sattugunam. Suppose you are infected with rajogunam heavily, then naturally rajogunam will come into action. Whereas in the nirguna bhakti, that will not happen. That's why it says nirgunayo ratihi. In that verse, you can see Kumaras are saying to Prithu Maharaj, that it is the nirguna bhakti, dridharadhar brahmani. He says, brahmani, that nirgunam bhakti. Nirgunam bhakti has to be present there. So that bhakti is not touched by three modes of material nature. This is the important thing, the modes of material nature. In general terms, if you say, when a jiva becomes free from its ajnanam or avidya or its ignorance, or when the jiva comes to realize what his identity is, or realizing himself what he is, that he is not the ahankaram, he is actually the ahambodham, and he started experiencing that full freedom, what we spoke about yesterday. Ahankaram means you are limited to the body. Ahambodham means you are connected with the consciousness, isn't it? Supreme consciousness. That means you are not limited anymore. You are experiencing the total freedom at that time. Complete connection with the body is broken inside, although you are present in the body. Connection is gone. That means in identification with pure consciousness, you are seeing you are unlimited. Just like this is a situation what we are talking. When we say Sugadeva Goswami, Jatabharata, Dattatreya Maharshi and all that, they are devotees. But their devotional status is different than our perception of devotion. Like Sugabrahma Maharshi, we talk about, we say, one who is present everywhere, isn't it? You don't see very much Sugabrahma Maharshi talking about a saguna worship or saguna sagara form of bhakti. You don't see there very much. And similarly with Jadabharata also, great devotee, but with fully this Nirguna Bhakti, gone beyond the modes of nature. So that bhakti is different. If we understand it, it is good, because otherwise bhakti becomes completely mixed up everything. We are used to using this word devotee, devotee, devotee everywhere. Very freely we use this word devotee, as though it's like another caste in the world. But devotee is based on consciousness. That status of that devotee, you can't say Shukha Brahma, she is also a devotee, I am also a devotee. You can't say like that, can you? Shukha Brahma, she's level is like that. Dhridharadhar Brahmani, as he says here. That they have gone beyond sadhana. Before them, there is no sadhana bhakti anymore. There's only bhakti there, and that is pure nirguna bhakti. It is not touched by any modes of nature. In saguna bhakti stage, even there you can, doubts can come. In nirguna bhakti, there is no doubts. In saguna bhakti, we have doubts about many things, isn't it? So, why this happened, why that happened? So many questions will come. In nirguna bhakti, all that is gone beyond. Why? Because you have gone beyond the three modes of material nature. So it is at that time that one realizes that the qualifications Krishna has spoken, as soon as the ajnanam goes away, avidya goes away from inside, he experiences, remember the Chandogya Upanishad mentions, Bhumava comes in experience, and he experiences that he has realized the truth. Actually, satyam or truth in reality is not to be found out. All what's happening is, they have got freed themselves from those things which are not the truth. That's what happens. Satyam is there in everyone, inside. Krishna is present in everyone's heart. That means the truth is already there. What is happening is that you are shedding everything what you are not. That identification you are losing with the body, with the mind, with the intelligence, and finally with the ego. When all that identity is lost, then the truth only exists after that. So that is why that is, whatever, if you remove all that what is not the truth, then truth is always there. But when we say like that, what it means is that little by little, to give up the taking shelter of those things which are not truth. That's what it means. Vastu, what is not truth, our dependence on them, to give up. At the moment, our dependence is on vastu, what is not truth, is it not? We are taking shelter of the world, which is not the truth. Taking shelter of this body, which is not the truth. Taking shelter of the mind, and so many other things. Material life means shelter of so many things. Money, world. You can see that our shelter is in all these places. Once we lose that faith in them, that there is no shelter in this, and only when we take shelter of Antaryami, Krishna inside, then that's it, then that's finished. That shelter is gone, and this shelter naturally comes back. Krishna comes back as the shelter. So little by little, giving up the shelter of those things what we are not, giving up that shelter, ashrayam, is this process of what Krishna is talking about here. In that case, satyam will manifest its own way. It doesn't have to come from anywhere else outside. Sometimes we are thinking that it's going to come from somewhere else, isn't it? Satyam doesn't have to come from anywhere else. Because satyam by definition itself, if you look at satyam, the truth, what is the definition? Yat trishubhi, trishubhihi avasthabihi na vyabhacharatihi tat satyam. This is the definition of satyam in the Brahma Sutra commentary. It is like that. Yat trishubhihi avastha. Trishubhihi avastha means that na vyabhacharatihi tat satyam. In other words, in all three states, that means past, present and the future, Jagrat, Swapnam and Sushupti, in all these three states, it should not change. That is the first requirement of the truth. If it is truth, it shouldn't change. Everything else is changing, isn't it? Body is changing. In the past, it had one body. Now we have one body. In the future, it will be another body. That means body is changing. Mind is changing. Intelligence is changing. Ego is changing. World is changing. So, because it is changing, this is not the truth. This is the conclusion. Yat trishubhihi avasthabhihi na vyabhicharati tat satyam. There should not be any vyabhicharam. Vyabhicharam means prostitution. Then any transformation that happens shows that it is not permanent. It's not, because it's changing, we cannot accept it as the truth. Anything that does not change in all the three states, in all the three times, it's considered to be the truth. So, in all states, in no way it can change. And because it does not change, that's why it's given the name Sat. The name Sat has been given to it for this reason only. The truth is such that it cannot change. Today, this word is very important. In today's world, this definition. Because every day, one should use this understanding in their self-inquiry. While inquiring about the self, this is how you begin the self-inquiry. How it means that this symptom of the truth, anything when thought waves come through us, you have to use that thought waves as an opportunity to look at it. That object what you are talking about, is that the truth? That is not the truth. So in this way, while sattva vicharam or alpa vicharam or self-inquiry when one begins, this definition of satyam should be in the mind, in our thoughts all the time. So that is the first step. And when we take, Krishna mentions in the earlier chapter that vivikta desha sevitvam aradhar jana samsadi. Otherwise, being alone and in a seclusion, Krishna says, this is what adhyatma sadhana means. In seclusion, one absorbing in these thoughts, in this way. In the last chapter, Krishna mentioned that, if you remember, vivikta desha sevitvam aradhir jana samsadi, Krishna mentions there. Little by little, the symptom of a person who becoming more and more spiritually vibrant or spiritually realization happens to him, the symptom of that itself is he feels a taste for isolation and kind of seclusion from the world. Because he started realizing that the inside world, adhyatma life, requires that fencing from the world. And when that taste happens, the mind will naturally absorb in mananam, in the contemplation. It will start developing like that. Ramachandra says this in the Yoga Vasishtam. Ramachandra puts it like this. What is the point in living like a human body, with a human body in this world? He says, taravobihi jivanti, jivandi mrigapakshinaha, sayajivadi manoyasya mane naivaha jivanti. That is a statement from Ramachandra. Ramachandra says, taravobihi jivandi mrigapakshinaha, sa jivadi manoyasya mane naivaha jivanti. The plants and the animals and the trees and the birds, they also live in this world. They are all living in this world. But one who continuously absorbs in the inquiry about the self, actually he is the one who is really living. Who is really living. Others, as far as Ramachandra is concerned, they are not even living in this world. So, it is from this word mananam or contemplation nature that Manushya's nature is mananam. Manushya means human body, you are supposed to perform this contemplation. So, Krishna says here, as long as you are completely absorbed in this inquiry about the self, little by little, this truth will get cleared from inside and will come out, filtered out from inside. And as much as we develop this habit of removing those things where we have no identity, like the body, like the mind, like the intelligence, like the ego, all these things, and if we start removing them from our identity, and it will natural way from inside, what we are in reality, that will start experiencing in our plane of anubhavam, or in the experience level, it will start coming out. They give the example, just like when you are churning the yogurt, how the butter comes out from that, and it comes out on the top of it. Similarly, that truth, what is inside everyone, and that is Krishna Swarupam, Anandam, what mentions there, that little by little coming out from inside. And that thing, when we get that experience, then it should be performed in the solitude. And this mananam must continue. How to execute the mananam? Mananam, that is the question. Mananam's nature is like this. And on what basis mananam should be performed? So, in order to start this mananam, the first principle is this definition of satyam. What we mentioned in the previous. Trishubhihi avasthabhihi na vyabhijaradihi sat satyam. This is the definition. Keeping that in the inside, this mananam process must begin. Otherwise, you have to start somewhere. So the primary condition is to first to negate everything. Basically, that sentence is nothing but another form of nasado vidyade bhavo. That's all it is. That verse is coming in a different way. So, you can see here, this process is called tattva-vicharam. Tattva-vicharam, isn't it? You will see in the Bhagavatam in many, many places spoken about tattva-vicharam. Tattva-marshena sahamanandi. He says like that in the, who says, Jadabharata and Rahugana. He says there, isn't it? He says, Brahmana Uvacha, it says, tattva-marshena sahamanandi. He says, and that is satyam. So, that thing which does not change. So, first of all, this definition of the truth, which means that under no circumstances, past, present or future, Jagrat, Saptam and Sushupti, that thing which doesn't change is the Satyam. And that means only the self, only the soul. Body is not the Satyam. Mind is not the Satyam. Intelligence is not the Satyam. Ego is not the Satyam. The world is not Satyam. Simple as that. So, none of them is Satyam. The Satyam is only the Atma inside, Krishna inside. So, after that is the first step in the process. The second thing, after that, mananam has to continue. Where to inquire about Krishna? That's the next question, isn't it? If you inquire about that, is there anywhere you will find that something which does not change any time? Which does not change. At that time, you know that everything in the world is changing. And not only that, the person who is seeing that, me, in me also, the body is changing. The mind is changing. So, if you keep on inquiring like this, you will notice finally that even the sun and the moon is changing. Sun and the moon is changing. So, any experience, what you may have in this world, that is also coming and going, isn't it? Some experience you get today, and it will last for some time, that experience. The impact of that experience will remain for a short period of time inside. After a few years or few months, it's gone. Its effect is gone. It's come down a lot, isn't it? So, from there you can understand, even your experience in this world is not permanent. It also has a certain effect and then it's gone. So, that is why when you inquire all these things, is there something that does not change at any time in all these things? This is how the Vedantam has very clear answer to these things. Vedantam is saying the two things out of them, Drikka and Drishyam. Drishyam is the world. Drishyam is this body, mind, intelligence, ego, everything, isn't it? So, if you look at everything what you are experiencing or perceiving in your perception, whatever that is there, if you remove the person who is seeing everything, if you remove him, everything else is disappearing finally. In all this whole process of seeing object, drishyam, and the seer, and the variety of objects what you are seeing, and the variety of experience you have, if you take all that into account, finally you will notice there is only one thing that doesn't change in all that. Who is that? That's us, each one of us. Drikka, the self. Atma is the only thing that doesn't go through any change. Atma is present when you are experiencing certain things in this world. When you are experiencing the body, Atma is present. When you are experiencing the intelligence, ego, mind, everything, Atma is present. Atma doesn't change. Completely transcendental to everything. As a witness, he watches, sees the changes in the body, in the mind, everything. But there itself you can notice our ajnanam, avidya in us. Somehow or the other, we hold on to the body and thinking that the body is me, isn't it? Vedantam is saying, body is not you, body is not real. That's why you were saying yesterday also. Body is not the truth, is it not? Body will go, like the world, body is also meant to go. But if you take everything into account, the only thing that doesn't change in everything, overall if you take it, there's only one thing that doesn't change, that is the self inside Atma. So, therefore, drishyam is not important, drik is important. Drik is important. So, so drishya prapancham. Drishya prapancham means this world that is being experienced, that is there only when the person who is experiencing the world is there. Is it not? Like if you are not there, the world is not there, is there? Normally we are used the opposite way. World is there, we may be there or not, we think like that. That's due to our identification with the body. But once you move away from that understanding and this self-inquiry begins, immediately you are accepting that I am the one who is there, not the world. World is changing, I am not changing. In me, the self has no change, I am always there. Today I am experiencing this world. Tomorrow, if I left this world, I gone to another planet, I am still there, but world has changed for me. The world is always changing. Different planetary systems, wherever you are, in the higher planets, lower planets, whatever it may be, and there may be places which you may not even experience, but you are still there. So, what is more important, Vedantam's principle is this. You are the important person. Your identity as a self is the reality. Everything else is not real. Everything else is not real. If this concept is strongly imbibed, then spiritual life becomes a lot easier. Otherwise, it won't make any sense. We will be dancing with the world. You will see changes in the world, and you will see so many things happened in the past, so many things will happen in the future. And you will be keep on collecting the information about all these things. But that is no use. In reality, all this history and all geography or any kind of science what we have developed in this world is all dependent on the drik inside. If drik is not there, drishyam is not there. Science is not there, history is not there, geography is not there, nothing is there. Everything dependent on the person who is the self inside. So this shift, that means from the things what you are seeing, from there a shift towards the person who is seeing it. This is a big shift in spiritual life. If this shift has happened, then spiritual life becomes a lot easier. As long as we are thinking about the object what we are seeing and giving importance to it, our mind will work. Our mind will operate. Mind will keep on saying to us, oh, that has changed, this has changed, everything has changed. We'll keep on perceiving like this, and along with that, you will be driven with that. And Vedantam, particularly Upanishads and Brahmasutram, does not accept that principle. They are telling us, you are the one who doesn't change. Everything else is changing, is changeable. You are not changeable. You cannot change. Body will change. Mind will change. Intelligence will change. Ego will change. But you don't change. So, when the attention moves away from the changing object to the changeless person, then spiritual life begins there. That's where spiritual life begins. Otherwise, there's no meaning at all. So, Upanishads, Bhagavad Gita, Vedantam, they're all saying this one point, very important. This is where science and Vedantam goes into different directions. Science goes in the direction of the Drishyam. Vedantam goes in the direction of Drik. There's a famous book, Drik Drishya Vivekam. If you read, you will see how spoken about it very much in detail. So everything finishes with the Drik. Finally, it settles down there. So, that Drik, who is unchanging, changeless, we call him as Bhagavan. Drik is Bhagavan. Krishna is that Drik, isn't it? Krishna is the one who doesn't change. Devotee will call us Krishna. Jnanis will call it as Brahman. Yogis will call it as Paramatma. But Swastu is one and the same. So, there, in that Bhagavad Swarupam, that is Krishna Swarupam. That is Krishna Swarupam. Why? Because it's eternal. That doesn't change. So, everything what you see or experience, yad drishyam tat nashyam, Upanishad says. Whatever there is drishyam here, that is subject to destruction. Tat nashyam. So, all the vastu, what you are seeing here, all of them will get destroyed one day. Is it not? It doesn't take very long to destroy things. You can see how things get destroyed. But our ajnanam, as long as there is avidya inside, we will find some truth in this world. In this world. Still, in spite of all the changes that's happening. So, once this question came up, that somebody asked Maharshi this question, that if Shiva appears in front of you and wants to give you some boon or blessing, what will you ask him? It's a good question, isn't it? Because he was in Tirunamalai, that Shiva is worshipped there in Annachalam. So he says, Maharshi's answer was, all these cheating business, he says, I'll say to Shiva like this, I don't want all this cheating business, he said. Why? He has a logic in there. What he's saying here is that, anything, if you have understood Upanishads properly, anything what you see tomorrow, today will disappear tomorrow. Like Krishna can appear in front of you today, but Krishna will appear tomorrow, disappear tomorrow. That is not, doesn't stay with you forever. So, reality, if you inquire about that, the person who is seeing is more real than the form that has appeared in front of you. Krishna is present inside a Santariyami. He is more real. That we have to come to understand that. We have to come to that realization. It doesn't require a lot of intelligence to know that. That this experience, Ahamasmi inside a Santariyami, is more real than a form. Krishna may appear in some form and Krishna can disappear also. Like you can see this in the Bhagavatam itself. Sri Narada Maharshi, Krishna appeared, Krishna disappeared. And Krishna told Narada Maharshi, that you won't see me in this form again in this lifetime. Next life, you will become a Vidyadhara and then you can continue with your service and then you can come back to me. Same thing happened to Dhruva also, isn't it? So, when great personalities, great devotees, after a certain stage for them, that form is not the attraction, the truth is the attraction. Truth is this, that Antaryami inside is Krishna. There is nothing more real than that as far as we are concerned, as truth is concerned. If you take the form as the truth, everything, then there is a lot of fighting to be done in this world. Everybody will say, like Christians will say Jesus is the God, we will say Krishna is God, somebody else will say Shiva is God, somebody else, and that will develop into, and they are not, Krishna or Shiva or Jesus is not going to tell us that who is God. We'll have to make that decision. They have left the decision to us. to decide who is God. That means that this issue of, this is where Antaryami principle, otherwise why Upanishads have given so much importance to Antaryami? That not to have this confusion anymore inside. That Antaryami is reality, really Krishna is Antaryami inside. And realizing that is more important than anything else, because even if you get the best form in this world, one day or the other that form will disappear. That is the first stage in that logic. So that means, and not only that, this Antaryami is something that we are already experiencing, is it not? That you don't have to say, because this awareness inside, consciousness, bodham, avabodham, anand, avabodham, that is continuously experienced all the time. We know that in the waking state, in the dream state, he is present there in the deep sleep also. Aham bodham never leaves us, is it not? So therefore, that in order to show that form of Krishna inside as aham bodham, Upanishads, Bhagavad Gita, Srimal Bhagavatam, all of them uses this process. Little by little, our attention has to turn towards us, to our identity. This is the process they utilize. Initially, they will begin with a form outside, but finally, they will take your attention towards the self. Finally, it has to go. Upanishads, Bhagavad Gita, Brahma Sutram, all of them uses this process. From outside, finally, they will take the attention towards inside. Because this is the only vastu inside which doesn't change. That's why. Even if a form, for example, you can see now we had this floods inside in the Himalayas, isn't it? How many temples would have been washed off? Completely washed away. Can you take that temple as the God and that's the only reality? And you are understanding, and many generations who come after us now, how they will see Himalayas and the mountains and the temples and the deities, everything in a different way than what we are seeing today. And those who have seen those temples there, they would have seen those temples in the past, they would have seen in a different way than the way we are seeing today. So, all of them is not real. This is all forms that's appeared in this hour, in the Sagvanam stage, when worship begins. Initially in spiritual life, we need all these things. So that, because our mind, which is used to the world so much, wants to wander around in this world, therefore, all these temples, deities, worships, everything necessary. It's necessary. It's not something to be, but when you keep analyzing it, you can see the absolute truth is none of these. It's something more than that, because by the definition of truth itself is something that should not change. If you go to Kedarnath, as we see now, the report is that major part of the temple has been washed off. And now they may rebuild that temple again. Even if they rebuild it, it will be in another form. It won't be exactly the same thing. It may be different. And so many other things, that other temples have gone away. So temples also disappear in the history. In the course of time, in different ways, it disappears from this world. So then what is the truth? This question comes, isn't it? So truth is only one. That is why Upanishads, Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam and all, initially they begin with the external world. They have to make us aware and put our attention and attachment to various places, various temples, various forms in this world. And finally, quietly they take you back to inwards again, to the self. Because this is the only place, Antaryami here, where it is permanent and which doesn't change. Even after leaving the body, it doesn't change. Isn't it? That is what is always you are. There's nothing you can do about it. Is it not? That is your actual identity. Identity is that. Not all the things what you see in this world. So, it is from this understanding, Sattajit Sugarupa Vastu. Yesterday we talked about that. That vastu, how to reach there, That process is Satsangam. That process is Satsangam. Actually, there is not much to talk about it. Half an hour, 15 minutes is more than enough to explain all these things. But the reason is that, and it has to happen through communication only. In communication, it has to happen. And if it happens, that is to Upanishad. Upanishads, you can see, all Upanishads are very small books, isn't it? Except Brahadaranyam, most of the others are 20, 30 pages, a few verses, that's all. Chandokyam, Mandokyam, everything, if you look, you will see that they are not very big. Katha Upanishads is about few hundred, maybe 100 verses, that's all. That's all. So, Satyam, or the truth, is not very long time to talk about it, only requires a very limited explanation. Because the nature, that is why, so, like we keep the mic and we talk about it through the mic for a long time, and when we hear that whatever that is spoken, if the mind goes after that, if you receive it through the mind, then you will notice that the mind will tell you what is next going to be spoken again. That mind will actually will give you that indication again. Because mind knows very well. If you have captured it through the mind, mind will tell you what is going to be spoken again. So, because the reason is, whatever the mind touches anything in this world, it becomes jadam. That is the nature of the mind. Jadam. Jadam means that, remember yesterday we discussed, Chishakti Chedana Ryuba Jadashakti Jadalmiya. That Jadashakti, that jadam nature is the mind. Mind's nature is jadam. That means that when we say jadam, what does it mean? It means this. Jadam, you won't get experience. If you touch Jadashakti, you won't get experience. If you touch Chitshakti, you will get experience. Anubhavam comes from Chitshakti. Perception comes from Jadashakti. Remember that? We discussed this before also. Jadam, Jadashakti and Chitshakti, two things. So, if you keep on hearing Shastram through the mind, mind will convert that Shastram into Jadashakti. And that means in Anubhavam, it won't happen. This is what's happening actually all the time to us. And why is this happening? Because of the problem with the Chittam. Chittam is not pure and Chittam is causing the problem. That is where all our vasanas, samskarams, modes of nature, everything operating there. That's where the difficulty comes. So, so therefore, all this clarity must be there inside while hearing particularly these chapters of Bhagavad Gita, and also while hearing about Bhagavatam, wherever Krishna has spoken, instructed Uddhava. All that thing, through Jadashakti, if you capture it, it will become Jadam. Through Chitshakti, if it gets in, it will become anubhav, experience. Experience means it will go into consciousness direct. And the Yami will capture it. So that is where mainstream is that not to allow this to become a part of the mind. All this what we are talking about. So while talking about this also, without moving away from the truth, that is another important thing. Remember I mentioned this also before. Narada Maharshi told Vedavyas, Nayatrahamso Niramanyu Shikshaya, he says to him, that do not come down to the level of, don't make it mundane, a topic which is totally transcendental. He says to Narada Maharshi says to Vedavyas, you have to remain in that state and speak from that state. And those who are able to come to that level and listen without allowing their mind to interfere, let them listen. But if you try to make it suitable for their mind so that they can understand, people always ask the question, how do I understand that? They will ask. So in order to make them understand, if you bring it down to that level, they may understand it, but they may not have the experience of it. That's what will happen. They will understand it, but they won't get the experience of it. That is why he said, Nayatra Hamsam Niramanyu Shikshaya. In the Bhagavatam he mentioned that, isn't it? So without giving importance to the mind, this is a practice, this is all a part of the self-inquiry, it's all a part of spiritual life, that without giving importance to it, not thinking that another information gathering should not happen. This is not information gathering, or not giving any importance to that. In every satsangam, every day when you sit in the satsangam, if at all possible, our shraddha should move to that more than what you are hearing, it should move towards the person who is hearing. That is what should happen. When you are hearing what we are talking about from Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam, instead of every time when you keep hearing, if your attention moves away from the what is being spoken, and the attention slowly starts moving towards the drik, who is listening, then you can say that the satsangam is working. It makes sense, isn't it? That if you keep on using the mind in everything, and keep on collecting the information, everything, where is it going to end? Upanishad says that till your attention comes on the drik, on the self, only till then you need all this knowledge. Once your attention has fallen on the vastu inside, on the self, then you don't require all these things. The way Puranams present it, the way Upanishads present it, and Mahabharatam, Ramayanam, everything present it is, initially they talk about everything in the world, and keep us somehow the other attached to the truth. That's the purpose behind it. They'll tell you Ramayanam, how many years, millions of years old, Ramchandra went to Sri Lanka and fought the battle with Ravana, and Rama won. And then from that history itself will create enough inquisitiveness in a person to inquire about Ramchandra, isn't it, and about Ravana. And then Ramayana will tell us Ravana had 10 heads, and he had these brothers, and then all the story attached to that. You get somehow or the other, you hooked up inside with that pastimes and activities. So all the Puranas also uses the same process. Somehow or the other, your attention should be in spiritual life. But as you keep progressing in spiritual path, sometime or the other, attention will lose from this world. You will start realizing that what has happened in this world is not so important for me. For me, it is not important. Today I am here. Tomorrow I will be, so who knows where I will be. You don't know about yourself, I don't know about me. What will happen after death, isn't it? So in another planet, if I end up, there may not be any Ramayanam there. There may not be any Mahabharatam there. So all I have taken so much effort to study Ramayanam, Mahabharatam, everything. But I didn't get to the point for which Mahabharatam was written or Ramayanam was written. Purpose was that by studying Ramayanam, Mahabharatam, Puranam, everything, finally this taste for the world or the drishyam goes away and attention comes to the drik, the person who is seeing that. So if it is developed in that way, then and keeps on develop this nature of going inward looking for the truth, every satsangam will become a proper self-inquiry process. So the shraddha or attention little by little turn towards the person in whom the shraddha is there, to the person in whom the shraddha is there. Instead of giving all the shraddha to the attention to the world or attention to the object, little by little the attention moves away from the object to the person in whom the shraddha has developed. That is why if you look into 6th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, you will see a verse there. Yatra uparamate chittam, that is that verse, 620. Yatra uparamate chittam niruddham yoga sevaya. Yatra jai valpman almanam pashyan almani tushyati. 20. There is 3 verses there. It does take time to come to this understanding. Initially, because we have started our spiritual life 30, 40 years ago, maybe, I don't know when, and from then on we have been asking questions and question and question. Krishna is answering here, Yatra ubaramade chittam niruddham yoga sevaya, yatra jai altman altmanam pashyan altmani tushyati. Sukham atyandiyam yattad buddhigrahyam atindriyam veti yatrana chaivayam stidas chaladi tattvada yam labdhva chavaram labham manyade nadhigam tata yasmin stidona dukhena gurunapi vichalyade tam vidya dukkha samyogam vyogam yoga sapnidam. Three beautiful verses in the Bhagavad Gita talking about the stage of perfection. Is called samadhi, Krishna says. When one's mind is completely restrained from material, mental activities by practice of yoga. This is characterized by one's ability to see the self, by the pure mind and to relish and rejoice in the self. This is an advanced state. Initially, we are busy with the world, is it not? We have a lot of commitments in this world. We have to complete all that. And we have to change the world, make it perfect. Then we are so, magnanimous, like Prahlada. Unless everybody goes back home, back to Godhead, after that only we want to go. We are willing to wait till then, isn't it? So magnanimous we are. But Krishna is saying here, that is all right, that's okay if you are inclined that way. If somebody's fate or destiny is that, let them go ahead with that. Somebody's destiny is like that. But in spiritual life, it doesn't have to be like that. Krishna is saying here that this is characterized by one's ability. That ability has to come first. To see the self by the pure mind and to relish and rejoice in the self. In that joyous state, one is situated in boundless transcendental happiness and enjoys himself through transcendental senses. Established thus, one never departs from the truth, and upon gaining this, he thinks there is no greater gain. Being situated in such a position, one is never shaken, even in the midst of greatest difficulty. This indeed is actual freedom from all miseries arising from material contact. So, that is what that is. So, there, yatram uparamade chittam niruddham yoga sevaya, and yatra jayu alpan alpanam pashyan atmani tushyadi sukham aityandiyam yattad buddhigrahyam atindriyam veti yatrana chaivayam stidas chaladi tattvada yam labdhva chaviram labham manyade nadhigam tata yasmin stidona dukhena gurunapi vichalyade tam vidya dukkha samyogam yogam yoga samyidam. In three very nice verses, Krishna has summarized the whole spiritual life in that. When we come to that stage, Krishna is saying, there is nothing to be done after that. Samvidhya dukkha samyoga viyogam yoga samyidam. That is that yoga state we are talking about. So, here you have seen the word chittam, is it not? Now, I haven't seen what is exactly the English word for this word chittam is. Mind, normally our subtle body, these four things. Manasa, buddhi, ahankaram, chittam. Is it not? So, looking into Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, the best place you could find as an explanation to chittam is in the third canto. If you look into Kapila Maharshi's discussions with Devahuti Devi in the Bhagavatam, in the 26th chapter, you remember Kapila Maharshi spoke to Devahuti Devi from the 25th to 33rd chapter. That is Kapilam, famous known as Kapila Maharshi's instructions. Kapilam it's called. Teachings of Lord Kapila. There, in the 26th chapter, Kapila Maharshi gives a little bit more insight into all these things. You get a little better understanding if you study that chapter well. Because we are very much confused about this mind, intelligence, ego and chittam. People ask this question all the time. What is this chittam? People are saying this. Only one thing what we know is the mind. That everybody knows. Mind. Intelligence, some people say they understand intelligence. Some people they don't understand intelligence. Difference between mind and intelligence. It's difficult to know also. We don't know where it's coming from, whether it's coming from the mind or it's coming from the intelligence. But we know there is something there which is the mind. Ahankaram also we understand because you see the disaster of ahankaram, the consequences of false ego. So therefore ahankaram we come to understand to some extent. But this is all based on our perception. When you go into Bhagavatam or to Brahma Sutra or Upanishads and look at it, it's a little different than the way we perceive these things. Mind, intelligence, ego and chittam. So if you look at that chapter, Sri Bhagavan Vacha, Kapila Maharshi says to Devahuti Devi, Devahuti Devi, that I will talk to you about the symptoms of the tattvam, he says. I'll talk to you about the symptoms of the tattvam. Atade sambramikshyami tattvanam lakshanam prathak. Lakshana means the symptoms of the tattvam, he says. And if you, it viditva vimuchyeda purusha prakrutir gunai. The advantage of knowing the tattvam is, we will lose our prakrita nature. Prakrita means our crude nature. Crude means not refined, in other words. We are actually, you are refined when you know these things well, then you are refined. When you don't know these things, that means our mind is in a very crude form, crude nature, subtle body we are talking about. Then he says here, that jnanam nishrayasarthaya purushasya alpa darshanam yadahur varnaya tate hridaya grandhi vedhanam. He says that the knowledge, this tattvam, what is going to be spoken in this chapter, it will help in two ways, he says. First thing, it illuminates the self, knowledge of the self inside, and it also smashes that false ego inside. Ahankara grandhi. What Krishna calls it, Purusha, Hridaya Grandhi, he calls it. Hridaya Grandhi means this Ahankara Grandhi. That false ego inside, it smashes it down, the false ego. When this chapter is realized, this 26th chapter, if you realize this, then knowledge of the self manifests and the false ego inside gets smashed down. Smashed down. Hridaya Grandhi, Bhayam. And then he starts instructions, starts. Anadi alma purusho nirguna prakrite para pratyakdhama svayam jyotir vishwam yena samanyitam. Kapila Maharshi says to Devahuti Devi that alma's nature, first of all, is it has no beginning. It has no beginning and it is inside illuminating the body. Illuminating the body. Andarmukham it is. Andarmukham means it's not, it doesn't come out, but inside it is doing its activity. And gunabandharahidam, nirguna prakrite para. He is never touched by the three modes of material nature. Alma never touched by the three modes of material nature. You know, when you study all these chapters, from this, a particular samskaram has to develop inside. We are in our present state, we are looking into the world, our mind is operating, intelligence is operating, ego is operating, and in that conditioned state, we are situated in this world at the moment, is it not? But when you study Srimad Bhagavatam, particularly these chapters, Kapila Maharshi's teachings and so many others, what it does is, it completely transfers our way of thinking into a different level. Where Kapila Maharshi says to Devahuti Devi that the purpose of all this is to make us understand that there is a different level in which creation happened and all the existence of the living entities also. He's saying, first of all, in our normal calculation, soul doesn't come into the equation, isn't it? We don't care about the soul. Soul is a matter for study for us at the moment. It's not in our daily life anymore, an importance there. So here he's saying, beginning with, anadir alma purusho nirgunam prakrite para. Alma is never under the three modes of material nature. And remember, we are discussing three modes of material nature chapter now. So initially that understanding important. പ്രത്യക്ധാമ സ്വയം ജ്യോതി വിശ്വം യേന സമന്വിതം ദെൻ ആൻഡ് ഹിസ് പ്രസൻസ് ഇൻ ദ ത്രൂ ഔട്ട് ക്രിയേഷൻ ഓഫ് ദിസ് ആത്മ സ ഏഷ പ്രകൃതിയും സൂക്ഷ്മാം ദേവീം ഗുണമയീം വിഭു യദൃച്ഛ ഏവോപഗതാം അഭ്യവധ്യത ലീലയാ സോ ദാറ്റ് ഹൗ ഡിഡ് ദിസ് പ്രകൃതി ഓപ്പറേറ്റിംഗ് ഹിയർ ഇൻ ദിസ് ക്രിയേഷൻ പ്രകൃതി കൃഷ്ണ സേയിങ് കമലമഹർഷി സേയ്സ് ഹിയർ സ ഏഷ പ്രകൃതിയും സൂക്ഷ്മാം ദേവീം ഗുണമയീം വിഭു സെയിം വേർഡ് കൃഷ്ണ ഇസ് യൂസ്ഡ് ഇൻ ദി ഭഗവത്ഗീത ആൾസോ ദേവി ഹേഷ ഗുണമയി മമ മായ സോ മായാസ് നേച്ചർ കപിലമഹർഷി യൂസസ് എക്സാക്ട്ലി ദ സെയിം വേർഡ് സ ഏഷ പ്രകൃതി സൂക്ഷ്മം ഈസ് വെരി സത്തു ദേവി 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 പ്രകൃതി ഗുണമയി ത്രീ മോഡ്സ് ഓഫ് മെറ്റീരിയൽ നേച്ചർ ഈസ് പ്രസന്റ് ദയർ സോ പുരുഷ അക്സെപ്റ്റഡ് ദിസ് പ്രകൃതി ആസ് ഹിസ് സ്വരൂപം ദാറ്റ്സ് വാട്ട് ഹാസ് ഹാപ്പൻ പുരുഷ ആൻഡ് പ്രകൃതി ഹൗ ദേ ജോയിൻ ടുഗദർ ദിസ് ഇസ് ദി ഇമ്പോർട്ടൻ്റ് ബിറ്റ് ദാറ്റ് പുരുഷ അക്സെപ്റ്റഡ് പ്രകൃതി ആൻഡ് ത്രൂ പ്രകൃതി ക്രിയേഷൻ സ്റ്റാർട്ടഡ് ഇസ്ന്റ് ഇറ്റ് സോ ദാറ്റ് ഈസ് വൈ വെൻ വി ലുക്ക് ബാക്ക് ഇൻ ടു ക്രിയേഷൻ ഇൻ ദി ഭാഗവതം പർട്ടിക്കുലർലി യു വിൽ സീ ഹിയർ that the three modes of material nature is the cause of the creation sattvam rajasa and tamasa and what is the nature of that prakriti guner vichitra astra jadim sarupa prakritim prajah vilokya mumuhe sadyo saiha jnana guhaya he says here that these three modes of material nature is capable of creating living entities under different modes and as soon as the seeing this prakriti the jiva loses its own identity with the self this nature of atma when creation started what happened he says here then praja or creation is full of three modes of nature is it not creation in the mode of goodness is demigods creation in the mode of passion is the human body creation in the mode of ignorance is the ghosts and the other spirits and things like that that's why you remember that creation due to creation itself we have rajo gunam inside more than sattva gunam and tamo gunam in us rajodigaha karma varaha dukheja sukhamaninam Earlier in the Bhagavadam, you will see this. Rajogunam is adhigam. It is excess. What they say is that there were three bottles, one sattugunam, one rajogunam, one tamogunam. When Brahma created us, he took one drop from sattugunam, one drop from tamogunam, and two drops from rajogunam. That's why Bhagavadam is answering our question. Rajodiga, because of that, what happened? കർമ്മ പരാഹ വി ഹാവ് ടു വർക്ക് ഈവൻ ഇഫ് യു ഡോണ്ട് വാണ്ട് ടു വർക്ക് നോട്ട് പോസിബിൾ കർമ്മ പരാഹ ബിക്കോസ് ഓഫ് ദിസ് ടു ഡ്രോപ്സ് ഇൻസ്റ്റെഡ് ഓഫ് സത്വഗുണം വൺ ഡ്രോപ്പ് തമോ ഗുണം വൺ ഡ്രോപ്പ് ടു ഡ്രോപ്സ് ഫ്രം രജോ ഗുണം സോ രജോദിഗാഹ കർമ്മ പരാഹ വാട്ട് എൽസ് ഈസ് ദയർ ദുഃഖേച സുഖമാനിനാം ഹി വിൽ വർക്ക് സോ ഹാർഡ് And he will get so depressed after working. And he'll get so tired. And he will say, it's not too bad. Working is not too bad. And this, how did this realization come like this? Now you can see this. People after working 40, 50 years find it difficult to sit at home. He goes back to the employer and says, please keep me, otherwise I will die. Remember I mentioned, I told you one case like that. That time it was 60, the retirement age. He worked 40 or 45 years for this company. And one day his retirement date came and he realized that from next day onwards, he has no place to go. He went up to the management and told them that even if you don't offer me the salary what you're paying me, I would like to come and work. Because otherwise, for him, life was finished. Why? He kept that balance, 2 drops of rajogunam, 1 drop of sattugunam, 1 drop of tamogunam. So, rajodigaha karma varaha, this comes from that. And that's what here Krishna is also saying here, whatever she is saying here, that based, because of that, when that prakriti's gunam, due to that rajogunam only this karmam has come to us. And when karmam happens, what is the next thing what will happen? Jiva start taking the prakriti and its activity, material nature and its activity as his own activity. This is what happens due to that. Avidya comes in. What to talk about us? It has happened to Brahma. Is it not? When Hamsagiram, if you remember that chapter, 13th chapter in the 11th canto, why Brahma could not answer that question to the Kumaras when they asked about the how to separate the modes of nature and the sense objects. He asked that question, he couldn't answer. And the reason given there was because Brahma has more rajogunam in him and he was absorbed in the creation process, work. He's also working like us. Maybe he's not getting paid, but but he is working. He is working. Rajogunam is in him also. Because creation means rajogunam, isn't it? Because of the presence of rajogunam, he could not get the knowledge at the time when he wanted. That is the result of that. So, 2 things will happen. Due to this rajogunam, we will have karmam. And due to karmam, what happens? The jiva will identify with the material nature as well as the activities of the material world as his swarupam. And the result of that, kartrutvam develops in him. This kartrutva bhoktrutvam has come like this into the person in this way. Tadasya, I will touch through this very briefly because it's a long chapter and there's a lot to be spoken. Tasya, tadasya samsidhir bandham paradandranja talkritam bhavati agartuhishasya sakshino nurvridalmana. So karma bandham, this bondage of karmam has happened in this way. There's a history behind that. And all this material existence, miseries of material life, all this distress what we are experiencing is all due to this identification with the material nature, prakriti. Then he says that very next verse, Kapila Maharshi says to Devahuti Devi, karyakarana kartrutve karanam prakritim vidu bhoktrutve sukadukhanam purusham prakrite param. That karyakarana kartrutve karanam prakritim vidu. In reality, soul will never have kartrutvam or bhoktrutvam. I am the doer or I am the enjoyer will never happen to the soul. Both of them come from the where? From the false ego. From the false ego. I am the doer, I am the enjoyer. This has come from the false ego. Ahankara kritam, he says. Karya karana kartrutve karanam prakritim vidu. Karanam prakritim vidu. Bhoktrutve sukadukhanam. And because of the ahankaram, the false ego, we will come to ahankaram later. What is ahankaram? What is chittam? What is manas? What is buddhi? These 4 things, because it is related to subtle body, we should have a very clear perception, understanding of that to understand Bhagavad Gita also. So, saying this, Kapila Vasudev stopped talking to Devahuti Devi. Finally, he told the reason how, if you look at the verses before, he started the talking about the tattvam and he said that, he told her that how ahankaram plays a huge role in all these things. And what is ahankaram? Explained there as jiva. Jiva is the ahankaram. And atma never have kartrutva bhoktrutvam. Same thing what we have spoken many times. Nothing can touch atma. Atma is always transcendental. It's always transcendental to everything. None of these emotions, none of these happiness and distress of this world, or none of these has any effect on the Atma, is it not? And the proof of that is the Sushupti state, when you go into the deep sleep state, is it not? When you go into deep sleep state, you can experience every day. Shastram is telling us theory. Deep sleep is our practical experience. What can you ask for more? In deep sleep state, you are experiencing that ahankaram is not there. And Krishna is saying here, Kapilamahrishi is saying here to Devahuti Devi, that Atma doesn't have kartrutva, boktrutvam. It belongs to ahankaram. It belongs to ahankaram. And because of adhyasam, adhyasam is a famous word in the Shastram. Adhyasam means building up on top of the ahankaram, false ego inside. Keep on building one on top of the other, that is called adhyasam. Due to that, that kartrutvam and boktrutvam has become firmly established inside. You know very well, in the Bhagavatam, as well as in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna has spoken very openly about that, that this kartrutvam, boktrutvam, as well as ahankaram, also, because of ahankaram only, kartas, kartasmiti bhajyate, it says in the Bhagavatam. In the Bhagavad Gita also similar words comes about kartha bhokta has come because of ahankaram. Because of ahankaram. So when Kapila Vasudeva said this and stopped, Devahuti Devi asked this question to him. Devahuti Vacham. Prakriti Purushasyabi Lakshanam Purushottama Bruhi Karanayurasya Sadasach Yadalmagam. Can you explain to me about this Prakriti and Purusha in detail? Because whether it is gross or subtle, stulam or sukshmam, everything is based on this Prakriti and Purusha, is it not? So that was Devahuti Devi's question. And Kapila Maharshi told her that Yatta Shri Bhagavan Vacham, Yatta Trigunam Avyaktam Nityam Sadasadalpagam Pradhanam Prakriti Prahu Avishesham Visheshavat. Then, Prakriti, Prakriti, what we are talking about, Kapila Maharshi says to Devahuti Devi, that it is based on this three gunam, sattvam, rajasat, tamasat. And it also, that everything that's happening, whatever is perceived, is happening through this Prakriti, through this Prakriti. And then, we will not discuss this, because this we have, all everybody knows, I think so, that that 24 tattvam in the Kapila Vasudeva's instruction, which you are familiar with, 5 material elements, 5 senses of knowledge, 5 senses of action, 5 tanmatra. Tanmatra means shabdam, sparsham, rupam, rasam, gandham. These are the subtle side of the 5 gross material elements. Earth, water, air, ether, fire, 5 gross material elements. Their subtle form is these 5 tanmatras. Shabdam, sparsham, sound, touch, form, smell and taste. Shabda, sparsha, rupa, rasa, gandham. So, altogether 20 now. Is it not? Which one? 5 material, 5 senses of knowledge, 5 senses of action, 5 material elements and 5 subtle elements of this gross, which means tanmatras in other words. Altogether 4 times 5, 20. Added to that, we have 4 more, mind, intelligence, false ego and chittam. Altogether 24, is it not? So, you know, we have spoken before, how these 5 material elements and their subtle forms are connected to each other. That means, sky is there, from sound has come. From the sound, sky has come. And from the sky came the form. And from the form, air has come. And from the air came the, you know the 5 things, connection between the 5. It's everywhere in all the books, you'll find that. Anyway, I won't go to that. So the 5, then that means the 5 material elements and its 5 subtleties, subtle side, they are connected to each other. That much if you understand, that's enough. That means shabdam sparsham, like you can say that gandham, smell, is the subtle form of the earth. And taste is the subtle form of the water. And form is the subtle form of the fire. And touch is a subtle form of the air. And sound is a subtle form of the sky. So they're connected to each other. From one to another, it comes. It's there and you can read it. It's easy to understand. Not problem. So 20 has gone away like that. Then what's left is the 4. Mind, intelligence, false ego, and manasa, buddhi, ahankaram, chittam. The 4 things. So, we'll go to that verses now. If you look into the verse, he says here that in the 16th verse. Prabhavam Paurusham Prahu Kalam Eke Yadho Bhayam Ahankara Vimutasya Kartu Prakritime Yusha. It says here that once this Ahankaram has come, then he, what has happened to him? He has identified with Prakriti then. He is not identifying with the spirit anymore. He is identifying with the matter. So because of that, he is thinking that he is Karta and he is the Bhokta. I am the doer and I am the enjoyer. And Jiva in that case, he is always frightened. Only when this happens, he gets frightened. Frightened of what? Krishna's another aspect, which is time. Kalam. Is it not? Kalam frightens everybody. Time frightens everyone. So, and they consider time as Krishna's another manifestation. We are all frightened about time, isn't it? As time advances, we know that we will lose this body. As time advances, we know we will lose everything, finally, including the body. So that fear in a subtle level is operating in everyone at all times. Although we are not conscious of it, we will try to take our attention to something else to forget about it. Then he says here that 18th verse, Andha Purusha Rupena Kala Rupena Yo Bahi Samanvetyesha Sattvanam Bhagavan Alpa Maya. Bhagavan Alpa Maya. He says here, due to the presence of Yogamaya, Krishna is present in everyone, all living entities, inside us, Andaryami. Inside us, Andaryami. He says here, Andha Purusha Rupena Kala Rupena Yo Bahi. Same thing what we saw in the 10th canto. Andha Purusha Rupena, inside and the Purusha, Purusha inside, us all as Purusha. Outside, he is present as Kalam, as time. Samanvetyesha Sattvanam Bhagavan Alpamaya. And outside, he is controlling us in the form of time. And inside, he is controlling us in the form of Andaryami. And that is Krishna. Talking about Bhagavan, he says, Samanvetyesha Bhagavan Alpamaya. That is him. That is him. Then he says here that next one, Deva Truita Dharminyam Sosyam Yonau Parapuman Adatha Viryam Sasuda Mahatattvam Hiranmayam. He says here that when Prakriti and Purusha, when they join together, it actually agitated the three modes of material nature. And due to that, Prakriti created Mahatattvam. Mahatattvam came into existence from that. You may have heard these words, Mahatattvam, Pradhanam, Ahamtattvam, Mahatattvam, all this. We'll understand that better later. Then he says here, Yattat Sattugunam Swacham. No, sorry, verse 20. Vishwam Almagadam Vyanjan Kudastho Jagadangura So Tejasa Pibhattivram Atma Praswavanam Tama. Krishna is saying here that because of the presence of this Mahatattvam, here what will happen is that Mahatattvam manifests the creation. Through Mahatattvam, creation manifests. Then because creation is present in Krishna, in Brahman, creation is present already in its sushma form. Creation means all this what you see plus all of us, all living entities, all part of creation. So we are all present in Krishna in a sushma form. What happens is when Mahatattvam is, Mahatattvam releases us. It releases all of us who are present in the Mahatattvam as Sukshma Rupam in the subtle form. And in that process, the pure form of Brahman, Krishna's pure manifestation, we have lost touch. We have become absorbed in this Mahatattvam's, this manifestation. And in the 21st verse, which is most important verse, Yattat, സത്വഗുണം, സ്വച്ഛം, ശാന്തം, ഭഗവത പദം, യദാഹുർ വാസുദേവാഖ്യം ചിത്തം തന്മഹദാത്മകം. ദാറ്റ് ഈസ് ചിത്തം. To make it more, little bit more understanding, I'm not saying you'll understand everything what it says. Krishna is saying here, yattat sattugunam swacham shandam bhagavata padam yadahur vasudevakyam chittam tan mahadalmagam. In other words, this mahatattvam itself is called chittam. Mahatattvam is called chittam. Another name for that mahatattvam is Vasudeva. It's called Vasudeva. And you remember when we discussed this in the Bhagavad Gita earlier, Adhyalpam, Adibodham, Adidevam. Three things we spoke. So, same mahatattvam, when it is in the Adibodha form, Adibodham, it is called mahatattvam. When it is in the Adhyalpa form, it is called Chittam, and in the Adidevam form is called Vasudeva. Too subtle, isn't it, to understand all this? Because it is complex thing. It is discussed in the particularly this particular subject, which is this four expansions of Krishna. It is there in the Krishna book. Prabhupada has written also that Vasudeva, Sangarshana, Pradyumna, Aniruddha. Four expansion, quadruple expansion it's called. Krishna's four quadruple expansion. That we will understand. Yes, four forms have come from Krishna. That is good. But in the Adhyalpam, Adivodam, Adidevam, that we talked before in the Bhagavad Gita in the earlier chapter, 8th chapter. That's when we discussed. Because Arjuna asked that question. Adivodam, Adivodam, Sharyobhava, Purushasyatma, Devadam, all those verses. So, Adhyalpam, Adibodham, Adideivam, in three different forms, he is addressed in three different ways. Adhyalparupam is addressed as Chittam. And Adideivarupam, he is called Vasudeva. And Adibodharupam, he is called Mahatattvam. He is called Mahatattvam. Why it's important? Now, from this you can see, Chittam, out of the four, which one? Mind, intelligence, ego, Ahankaram and Chittam. Chittam has been spoken first. Chittam has been spoken in depth, first thing. He says here that what is the nature of this Chittam? These are all present in all of us. Which one? Vasudeva is present in us. Sangarshana is present in us. Aniruddha is present in us, and Pradyumna is also present in us. How are they present in us? We have a mind. If you have a mind, the predominating deity of the mind is Aniruddha. If you have intelligence, the predominating deity of the intelligence is Pradyumna. If you have Ahankaram inside, which we all have, the predominating deity is Sangarshana. And if you have Chittam, the predominating deity is Vasudeva. Is Vasudeva. So, Vasudeva, Pradyumnam, Aniruddha and Sangarshana. Four quadruple expansions. And they are present in us as mind, intelligence, ego and Chittam. Four things. That is how that connection. Now, if you ask the medical science, for them there is no quadruple expansion. There is no Vasudeva, there is no Pradyumna, there is no Sangarshana, there is no Aniruddha. What they exist, they say there is a thing called mind, which they are still studying the mind with the mind itself. There is no more foolish thing than that. But they will come up with some solution anyway. But what I am saying is that how limited their understanding of this body is. That's why yesterday, remember I was saying this, that can you explain this body? Can anyone explain about this body properly? When you see Shastram is telling us so many subtle things about this body, that four forms of Krishna is present inside, apart from the Antaryami. Antaryami's presence also there. Plus Vasudeva, Sangarshana, Pradyumna, Aniruddha, they are also present there. Now, if you look here, you will see one interesting thing there. What is that? Next verse, 22nd. About this Chittam, Krishna is talking. Swachatvam, Avigaritvam, శాంతత్వం ఇది చేతస. వృత్తిభిర్ లక్షణం ప్రోక్తం యథాపాం ప్రకృతి పరాహ. దాట్ ఈస్ ద మోస్ట్ ఇంపార్టెంట్ వర్డ్స్ దేర్. వాట్ ఈస్ దిస్ చిత్తం? వి కీప్ పీపుల్ ఆస్క్ దిస్ క్వశ్చన్, ఇస్ంట్ ఇట్? Now, how to explain chittam to somebody like anyone? If you ask a question, all I can say is to look at Bhagavatam and see what Bhagavatam is saying. The nature of chittam is like this: swachatvam avigayitvam shandatvam iti chetasa vrittibir lakshanam proktam yathapam prakriti paraha. He says here that in the case of chittam has got the capacity to realize the self. Swaroopa grahanam, that's what this swachatvam word, what it is used there, said swachatvam adhikarityam shandatvam iti chetasa. That swachatvam refers to that. In other words, if chittam is pure, chitta shuddhi has happened, chittam is capable of realizing the truth. That is why chittam is important. And it is in chittam all the impurities. You see? We talk about chitta shuddhi, we keep saying, isn't it? Why chitta shuddhi? Because chittam is the one who is capable of receiving the knowledge of the self, not the mind, not the intelligence, not the false ego. And while explaining this, Kapila Maharshi did not want us to get confused. So you know what he said? You look at the words carefully, see how he's put it. He said, swachatvam avigaritvam. Avigaritvam means that emotions won't have any effect there on the chittam. Emotions don't get in there. Avigaritvam means no vigaram can get into that chittam. Vigara shunyata. And then what else? The very nature of that chittam is shanti. Swachatvam avigaritvam shandatvam. That is why when Krishna is saying to us about the self in the Bhagavad Gita, he keeps saying shanti, shanti, shanti. Is it not? In many places he says shanti is important. Is it not? He says shanti, does he not? He's not saying, oh, he'll be feeling in the extremely blissful and extremely in an excited state and enjoying life and all that. He doesn't say anything like that. He says shanti is the nature of the soul. Why? Because chittam's nature is shanti. Chittam's nature is shanti. This chittam, at least we should understand, because it is through chittam this knowledge of the self gets in. So, swachatvam avigaritvam shandatvam iti chetasa. Chetasa, that chittam is coming. From that comes the chetasa. Another word for chittam. So after saying that, because he doesn't want us to get confused, he said, he put it like this only because of one reason. Vrittibhir lakshanam proktam yathabham prakriti paraha. It is not, they are not different, he says. Which one? That according to the vrittibhedam, that means based on the function only, this difference exists. Which one? Mind, intelligence, false ego and chittam. It's based on the function. There is no four different boxes inside packaged. This is mind. We like it like that, isn't it? Everything segregated and put in its place, four or five different boxes so that you can pull out which one you want. Unfortunately, it's not like that. That's what he's saying here. So we don't want to confuse that. Therefore, he's saying there, vrittibhir lakshanam proktam. Based on the vritti. Vritti means its action. Based on its function, in other words. Based on its function, this is what is chittam means. That is how much you can discuss about chittam. That is all, how much you can discuss about chittam. This is how much information is there in the Bhagavatam about chittam. That I think we do understand that Krishna is saying to us, Vasudeva Sangarshana Pradyumna Aniruddha, four quadruple expansions exist, and this is discussed in the Brahma Sutram also. There's a whole chapter about it. So it's not a Puranic story. No, it is very much a part of the Vedanta Sutram itself. Vedavyasa Maharshi talks about each one of them very clearly there. But in the Srimad Bhagavatam, but because it is a sutram there, it is not even gone into depth like in the way in the Bhagavatam it is spoken. But to a large extent, you will have a fair idea what chittam means now, isn't it? Swachatvam, avigarityam, shandatvam, iti chetasa. And then he says there, vrittibhir lakshanam prokta. Only based on the vritti, this division is existing. Because if you ask somebody, because all of them is coming from the chit-shakti. It's chit-shakti it is coming from. So therefore, very difficult to pinpoint and say, they are there, that's all we have to accept based on the shastram. Because realized souls are telling us that they have experienced it, they know it. And therefore you have to accept it. But it is difficult, like in the research, you can't do research on this. If you say, oh, we'll go to Cambridge or Oxford and start researching, where is chitam? Or where is mind, you won't find it. There's no location in the body, is there? Because it's coming from the self, from the Atma it's coming from. So therefore, you have only one choice to accept it, how the Shastram has spoken. After saying this, chitam is finished. And then one more topic there is covered is ahankaram, false ego. That false ego, Krishna says here, that Krishna Sangalpam, because of that, that Mahatattvam transformed itself into ahankaram. Mahatattvam transforms itself into ahankaram. And that ahankaram, as soon as ahankaram was born, it has come under three modes of material nature. Ahankaram has got taken these three material nature, three modes. And therefore, ahankaram in the mode of goodness, ahankaram in the mode of passion, and ahankaram in the mode of ignorance. Sattva ahankaram, rajasa ahankaram, tamasa ahankaram, it came in three different forms. And then you can read in the Bhagavatam how mind was born from sattva ahankaram, senses were born from the rajasa ahankaram, body and other things were born from the tamasa ahankaram. Like that, all that explanation is direct. It's not very difficult. What you have to remember here is something else. That this ahankaram aspect of Krishna is Balaram. Sangharshanamurti. He is called Sangharshanamurti. And Sangharshanamurti, who has appeared as ahankaram, for example, you will see here, if you go into verse 27, that from Satya ahankaram, from the mood of goodness, ahankaram in the mood of goodness, mind was born, and Aniruddha is in charge of that mind. And from Rajasahankaram, intelligence was born. And there is a lot of subtle things there happening. How the operation between mind and intelligence. That's all explained in this. If you read in the Bhagavatam, you will see there. That how this intelligence was born from the mind. For example, Ahankaram itself turned into three. Satyam, Rajasam, Tamasam. From Satyam, mind was born. And from Rajasam, Buddhi was born. Rajasam Buddhi was born. So, what is Buddhi means? That Buddhi means, for example, if you look, there is a mango there. Buddhi will tell you the form of the mango, the color of the mango, and the mango's state, whether it is green or whether it's ripe. All the qualities of the mango. All these things Buddhi will describe. Mind won't describe that. The mind will talk about the sattvya side of it. Sattvya ahankara. Mind will tell you it is a mango. That's all it can say. But Buddhi will tell you about the qualities of the mango, form of the mango, and other aspects related to the mango. That's all coming from the Buddhi. The object itself is spoken by the mind. Mind is. So there's a subtle difference there between the mind and intelligence. So that's all spoken about that. And then, doubt coming. Doubts coming inside. And false knowledge inside. Lot of false knowledge we have, isn't it? We have a lot of false knowledge. What happens is, as you keep on progressing in spiritual life, you get rid of that false knowledge from inside. Mithya jnanam it's called. The first false knowledge is this, I am this body. That's the first false knowledge. Then determination. Then smriti, memory. And then finally, nidra, sleep. All this is nothing but different aspects of the mind. Is it not? Mind, when mind closes down, you are in sleep. Nidra comes. Is it not? When the mind shuts down. Similarly, determination is also aspect of the intelligence. That determination comes from there. And doubt, also another aspect of the mind. So therefore here, it says here, samshayodham vibharyaso nischaya smriti revaja stava ityuchire buddhir lakshanam murtida prathak. The various symptoms of the mind and intelligence is spoken, so that you know where these things are happening, whether it's happening in the mind or whether it's happening from the intelligence. That much is enough to know. Then he talks about the different senses of knowledge, senses of action, how they have taken. There's a whole chapter which we will not go into now because that's another topic. Important thing to remember here is this ahankaram, false ego, what we all have, he is a manifestation of Balaram. Sangarshanas, Murtis, manifestation that is. Where would you find that if you go into the fifth canto? If you look into the fifth canto, you will see there in the 25th chapter, it mentions that first verse itself in the 25th chapter. Tasya Shri Shuka Vaja Tasya Mula Deshe Trimshad Yojana Sahasrandra Masse Yavai Kala Bhagavada Tamasi Samakhyada Ananda Idi Satutiya Drashtu Drishayo Sangarshanam Aham It Abhimana Lakshanam Yam Sangarshanam Itya Ajakshate. So that Abhimana Ahamity Abhimana Lakshanam is Ahangaram. See that word? Tasya Mula Deshe Trimshad Yojana Sahasrandaram. This is in this chapter is talking about the Sthanam. Sthanam is discussed in this canto. Sthanam means in creation, in various things, what is going on. That is Sthanam. Sthanam means all, the whole creation is discussed here, is it not? So when it comes to this 25th chapter, it is talking about Patala Logam, the lower planetary systems. And in the lower planetary system, it says 30,000 yojana. One yojana is 8 miles length. There, Krishna's Tamasakala. Tamasakala means that Satvi Rajasa Tamasam. Under the three modes, again Krishna has another Kala or Krishna's manifestation, who is known as Ananta, Adishesha. He is situated there, and what's happening with him? What he does is, he removes this Drashtava Drishyam Aham. Three things. He says, mentions here, Drashtu Drishyayoho Sangarshanam Ahamit Abhimana Lakshanam Yam Sangarshanam Ityachakshade. How did this name Sangarshana comes to Balaram? It came like this. That he is Sangarshanam. Sangarshanam means Drashtava Drishyam Ahamit Abhimanam. Ahangaram Drashtava Drishyam. He removes these differences between the three and makes it one. That's what he does. Balaram is capable of doing that for us. That means another way of saying that, realizing the truth, realizing the self. So there, because he does that, through Drashtava Drishyam Aham Iti Ajakshade, he is addressed as Sangarshanamurti. He is addressed as Sangarshanamurti. And you will notice there, that in Vaishnava Tantram, Sangarshanamit Abhimanarishanam Yam Sangarshanamit Yajakshade, that there you will see that Idi Sattvadiyam. Sattvadiyam means Sattvada Tantram, Vaishnava Tantram. He is addressed as, because of that, Chaturviha Upasana, that means Sangarshanam Pradyumnam Aniruddha Vasudeva, there he is addressed as Sangarshanam. He is addressed as Sangarshana, and he is Balaram. He is Lord Balaram. And in his hood of 1,000 heads, Ananda Adishesha, in one of his hoods, this whole creation, Bhumandalam, is like a mustard seed resting there. Mustard seed resting there. How to explain more than that is very difficult, isn't it? So, lot of things in this creation, it's very difficult to perceive this, and you have to just have to accept it the way it is. Anyway, that we may or may not understand, but if you go into the next verse, that's a more interesting verse. Yasya hava idam kalenova sanjahirshado amarsha virajidam rijira bhramad bruvo andarena sangarshano namam rudra egadasha vyuha tashastri shikham shulamuktam bhayan udatishtad. He says here, when Sankarshanamurti gets angry, from his eyebrows, because of the anger, the eyebrows moves, and from the middle from of that, Lord Shiva is born. So this is the proof to say to us, Lord Shiva and Balaram are one and the same person. You see, Lord Shiva and Balaram are non-different. Lord Shiva, that Sankarshanamurti and Rudra, they are one and the same person. Eventually you will read through Bhagavatam, you will see Satyam Param Dhimahi. When we address as Krishna, it includes all of them. Balaram is included, Shiva is included, everybody is included there. So that is how much we need to know about Ahankaram. So coming back to this, we will have a short break. It's 5 o'clock.
Chedo darpanam arjanam vamahadavagni nirvapanam shreyakaitava chandriya vidaranam vidhyavadu jivanam ohanandam budivardhanam pratipadam purnamradasvadanam sarvatna ukkumanam param vijayade shri krishna sankirtanam namnamagari bahudha nija sarva shakti tatrapida nimida smaranena kala ఏదాదృశం తవ కృపా భగవాన్ మమామి దుర్దైవమీదృశమిహాజనినానురాగ తృణారవిషునీచేన తరోరవి సహిష్ణునా అమానినా మానదేన కీర్తనీయ సదా హరి నధనం నజనం నసుందరీం కవితాం వా జగదీశకామయే మమ జన్మని జన్మనీశ్వరీ భవదాద్ భక్తిరహరీ దుహిత్వై ఐ నందదనూజకింకరం పదిదామాంశమే భవాంబుద కృపయా తవ పాదపంకజ స్థితూళి సదృశం విచిన్వయ యుగాయుధం నిమేషేణ చక్షుషా ప్రావిశాయుధం శూన్యాయుధం జగల్ సర్వం గోవింద విరహేణ మే నయనం గళదశ్రుధారయా వదనం గద్గద రుద్ధయా గిరా పులగైర్నిచితం కదావభూ తవ నామ గ్రహణే భవిష్యతి ఆశ్లిష్య వా పాదరదాం వినిష్టు మాం అదర్శనాం మర్మహలాం కరోతు వా యథా తదా వా విదుధా దులంబడో మంత్రాననాథాస్తు నయేవ నాపరా.
సో we saw when we were reading from the Bhagavatam, Krishna uses a word there, Kapila Maharishi uses a word, Kutastham. The word Kutastham. Kutastham. Also in the 6th chapter, if you look, you will see there Kutastham. The word Kutastham in the 6th chapter also. He says that ఎత్ర ఉపరమదే చిత్తం, వెన్ కృష్ణ మెన్షన్స్ దేర్ ఎత్ర ఉపరమదే చిత్తం నిరుద్ధం యోగసేవయా ఎత్ర జైవ ఆత్మనాత్మానం పశ్యన్ ఆత్మని తుష్యతి సుఖం అత్యంతికం ఎత్తత్ బుద్ధిగ్రాహ్యం అదీంద్రియం వేత్తి ఎత్ర చైవాయం స్థితశ్చలతి తత్వత యం లబ్ధ్వా చాపరం లాభం అన్యథే నాధికం తత యస్మిన్ స్థితో నా దుఃఖేన గురునాపి విచాల్యతే తం విద్యా దుఃఖ సంయోగం వియోగం యోగ సంహితం. సో దేర్ స్థితశ్చలతి వేతి ఎత్ర చైవాయం స్థితశ్చలతి తత్వద స్థితశ్చలతి తత్వద. కృష్ణ ఇస్ సేయింగ్ హియర్ దట్ ఇన్సైడ్ అవర్ మైండ్ ఇన్సైడ్ అస్ there is one thing which has no chalanam. For example, mind, intelligence, ego, all this is in the movement always, isn't it? There's always, it's moving. Moving means it's changing. Mind, intelligence, ego, they're always changing. The one that doesn't change is called kodastham. Kodastham. Bhagavad Gita, you will see that word in other places. I can't remember exactly where it was. Probably in this chapter itself, Kutastham comes. Somewhere, Kutastham he talks about. That word, practically, it's another word which we call it as Jnapti or Prajna. This is another word, Kodastham. So this Kodastham, when you say Kodastham, sixth chapter. Yeah. So yeah. So there you can see there in the sixth chapter itself, eighth verse. കൂടസ്ഥോ വിജയേന്ദ്രിയ ജ്ഞാന വിജ്ഞാന തൃപ്താത്മ കൂടസ്ഥോ വിജയേന്ദ്രിയ. സോ കൂടസ്ഥം മീൻസ് ഇറ്റ്സ് അനദർ വേ ഓഫ് അഡ്രസ്സിംഗ് ദ സെയിം ജ്ഞപ്തി വിച്ച് മുചുകുന്ദ യൂസസ് ദ വേർഡ് ജ്ഞപ്തി. ത്വം ജ്ഞപ്തി മാത്രം പുരുഷം പ്രജാമ്യഹം ഈ സൈസ്. അനദർ ടൈം ഈസ് ഇറ്റ്സ് കോൾഡ് പ്രജ്ഞ. അനദർ വേർഡ്സ് ഇറ്റ്സ് കൂടസ്ഥം. ദാറ്റ്സ് ഓൾ. സോ കൂടസ്ഥം വെൻ യു സേ ദാറ്റ് വൈ വിൽ വേർഡ് കൂടസ്ഥം ഈസ് യൂസ്ഡ് ബിക്കോസ് ഇറ്റ് ഡസൻ ചേഞ്ച്. That's why Kodastham. And because he doesn't move, remember this one important thing. Satyam is Trishu Lokeshu. Trishu Avasthaseshu, it should not move, it should not change. Only then you can call it as Satyam. It is based on that principle Krishna is saying this, Kodastham. Kodastham means that he doesn't have any movement. It doesn't have any movement. Krishna himself uses that word Kodastham. There is other places in the Bhagavatam also. And again in the Bhagavad Gita this word Kodastham comes. I think it is in the somewhere in the Pipalayana Maharshi's description about God, about Krishna, Narayana. He mentioned, uses the word Kodastham there. So in so many places in the Bhagavatam you will see this word Kodastham. So that Kodastham nature means that there is no movement. There is no movement. In other words, there is no changes happening. Always same. That is Krishna. Always same. Atma, Brahmam, Bodham, Jnapti, Prajna, Kodastham. Everything one and the same thing referring to. So here, that Kodastha Chaitanyam, that Kodastham, Krishna who is Kodastham, he is Achalam. No change will happen there. So that truth, that is our Swarupam. That is our Swarupam, and that we are. And it is from there, this Aham, 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 this awareness which we are experiencing all the time as consciousness comes from there. And that is our Vyaktitvam, or you can call it as our real identity. Our real identity. Normally, when we talk about ourselves, in two different planes, we can talk about us. In two different planes. One plane is what we say that, for example, when I talk about me, you can say like this, that I was born, then I was born as a Brahmana or Kshatriya or Vaishya or whatever it is. Vaishya or a Shudra or a Hindu or a Muslim or a Christian or a man or a woman or a Brahmachari or a Grahastha or a Sannyasi or Vanaprastham or a human form. In this way, a particular plane in identification with the body, you can speak about yourself. In identification with the body. And that personality, in identification with this body, is not our original personality. Is not our original personality. Actually, in Vedantam and in the Upanishads also, that personality is considered to be a diseased person. Disease. It's a kind of a disease that is. So you can see this. Very small children, in them, this diseased personality is not there. Only in the adults it exists. For example, if you see a 1 or 2 year old child, he doesn't have this aham like the way we have, isn't it? If you take away his toy, he will revolt from his hands if you pull it out. But then he doesn't fight further. It's forgotten straight away. Whereas if it's something taken away from us, we'll fight for the rest of the life. Isn't it? So that difference you have noticed there, that aham aham, like the way it comes out in us, this false plane, I'm saying, about this false identity. In identification of the body, what's happening doesn't exist in the children. When the child is born, you look at them after some time, you will see, initially he doesn't know his name, isn't it? And if you call him first time, when you call the child by his name, he is not going to listen to you. He'll be looking somewhere else. So how did this happen then? That what has happened is, then what the father, mother and the other relatives, what they do? Say his name is Hari. They'll keep on saying, Hari, 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 they'll keep calling him. And then afterwards they'll test him. Has he accepted that identification? Then they'll ask him, who is Hari? Who is Hari? They'll keep asking the child. Again he won't answer because it is not identified yet. It takes a while for him to identify with the ajnanam we are pumping in. We are pumping this avidya into the child that you are Hari. And whatever be his name, Peter or whatever name, it doesn't matter who it is. But when that child in its fresh form doesn't know he is Peter or Paul or Hari or Krishna or Rama or whatever it is, doesn't know anything about it. All what has happened is that that you have made that child to accept this identity through your preaching. That's what you have done to that baby. Poor innocent child who has come to this world without any identity, false identity, due to your strong hammering on the child that this is what you are. You are Hari. From now on you are Hari. Hari, Hari. In different ways you will play with the child and then the moment he starts answering you, then you are feeling happy that you have educated him now in the false way. This is the beginning of the business. Whole business, avidya begins from that day onwards. First, that is why Mata Pita is the first guru for this avidya. That's who starts the avidya teaching, starts from the father and the mother. They begin this whole process. So, and they'll do it in various ways. They'll give a toy to the child and take this toy out. And whose toy is this? They'll ask. If the child says it's Hari's, you're happy. Because and that's what you have done now. Me and then mine also you have injected into the child. You want him to say that, then you start thinking, oh, he's thinking for himself now. You're feeling happy. It's how ajnanam spreads. This is called in Shastram Adhyasam. That somehow or the other, from outside world, pumping ajnanam into the child. Child on his own has no ajnanam. It is even not conscious about its own body. That is its real state. Because you have to remember, if third candle is correct, Kapila Vasudeva says to the Ahuti Devi, when it loses its yoga state, it was in a yoga state inside the womb of the mother, remembers all its past life from several lifetimes, prays to Krishna not to put through this state again, another womb of the mother, and wants to get released from there and makes a commitment to Krishna, I will never come here again. If you let me go from here, I will spend the rest of the life in your service. With all these promises, he comes out from the womb. Only problem, Kapila Maharshi says, that prasutyai sudhimaruta. Sudhimarutan, that means that prasava vayu, that air which delivers the baby from inside, he gives a good kick from inside, get out from here, says to him, and he comes out. Only thing is, when he comes out, viparita anugatim gada, comes upside down. And from that day onwards, everything is upside down. Whole life is upside down. Isn't it? So, that is what Krishna is saying here, that unconsciously, you are teaching the child this ajnanam, how to identify this body, how to identify with this various ajnanam in different levels. Initially, the child even doesn't know that it is his mother. Child doesn't know that, isn't it? So, but you go to the you go to the child and says to the child, "This is my mother." Then the child will cry, and then you are happy. The child is crying and child is not accepting. So if you say to the child, "I'm going to take your mother away," and the child will start crying. Child will start crying. So actually we are not aware what exactly we are doing at that time. We are not conscious of that. We are thinking, oh, it's all good fun, all this playing with the child in this way. But we are, what we are doing is, this thing is going on all over the world. It's not in one place, in one community or one group of people. The same fun with the children in this way happens all over. And in the similar way, if you look at the animals also, the big dog will teach the small dog how to bite. You must have seen that. Or the big dog teaches the smaller pups how to bite. Because if it doesn't teach, only that's the way it can find its food, isn't it? So similarly, unconsciously, we also start this business from the birth of a baby. And it's a project that goes on from then on. So little by little, we educate the child, "I am, I am, I am." And then you will teach the children in that small level that we will point out to the eye, the ear, the nose, and we will want the child to say to us that this is my eyes, this is my ear, this is my nose. And when the child starts saying all these things, we feel happy because we feel that he is getting more and more advanced in his knowledge. Spiritually, you are making him more and more identification with the body, identification with the body. So, at that time you can see, little by little, that child gets established in that body, fully settled in that body. And when he gets established in that body, he starts seeing that it is my leg, it's my arms, it's my hand, and everything. And he enters into the body in that way. That's how he... So, you can imagine, we were in a state at some time without all this. Now, today, what are we doing now? We want to say to ourselves, "I'm not this body, I'm not this hand, I'm not this leg." So, everything what we have done in the beginning, you have to go through the reverse process now. To start, and that spiritual life is all about. So, when the child is established, it is after that he entered into the body, it is after that, after he has entered into the body in this way, then he starts looking at the world. Then he starts, till then he is not looking at the world. When you look at the child, you can see these things. The child is not bothered what goes on, whether the clouds come, whether it rains, nothing is in his attention. There is no Shraddha there. Shraddha is not there. Shraddha has not developed yet. But due to this misguided training from the beginning itself, over a period of time, it has become, he has got into the body and he has become the body. When he has become the body, then the next thing what he does is he looks into the world and see what is there. Moment you have entered into the body, that means what? It means that you have entered into the senses as well, isn't it? Karmendriyam and Anindriyam started functioning, and through those indriyam you started looking for the sense objects, to the sense object. So, when he enters into this body, this unusual phenomenon called this body, and it's a kind of a thing, this body is a very funny thing, isn't it? And he enters into that. And important thing for him, in reality it is, that centered around him, the body starts growing. Around the real person, the body starts growing. And it is after that he starts using the body. It's after that he starts using the body. Because that's what has happened in the womb also. In the womb of the mother, the same thing has happened. That initially he came into the womb. And then the body grew around him in the womb. Is it not? You know that in the Bhagavatam. It's mentioned in the same Kavila Maharshi's teachings to the Avadhi Devi. So he came and then the body grew. Similarly came out and then the body starts growing again from then on. So just like, you know, in the forest you notice that sometimes there will be a certain kind of ant hill. The ants will be living there. Around the ants, the hills will come up, huge ones you will see. And then there will be holes in there, and the snakes take shelter there, underneath the ant holes, inside the ant holes. You will see the Bhagavatam mentioned that when Chavana Maharshi was in the forest, when he was performing penances, this ant hill was built around him. It grew up around his body, and he only two eyes were visible. Rest whole body was covered, and Chavana Maharshi was inside that. So Sukanya, the king's daughter, she was in a playful mood wandering around in the forest, went and saw these two eyes coming through the anthill. So she, in her playful mood, took one thorn and pierced the two eyes. The story is in the ninth canto. When she pierced the eyes, the blood came out from that. And the result was that whole royal family who had gone there for a good time in the forest, they were playing and hunting and all sorts of things they were doing. And the army who were with them, all there, they couldn't pass their urine anymore because they did this to Chavana Maharshi. Because Chavana Maharshi's ashram it was. They've gone and done this offense there to Chavana Maharshi. So it was only then the king realized that somebody must have done something to Chavana Maharshi. Therefore, this has happened. And they're saying there that it was then that Sukanya comes back and says to the king that I had done this. I don't know anything what I've done, but blood came out from there. And then they come back and they looked at, they saw Chavana Maharshi's eyes, they were. And it was Chavana Maharshi's curse that nobody could pass urine after that. And then they had to please Chavana Maharshi. And what could you do? King asked Chavana Maharshi, how can I please so that everybody will get back their health? So Chavana Maharshi said, you have to marry your daughter to me. And Sukanya accepted. Sukanya was married to Chavana Maharshi. And Chavana Maharshi, because he was a very powerful sage, he decided to get back health, back to live his normal married life. And therefore, the two, the physicians of the demigods, Ashwini Kumaras, they had to come. Ashwini Kumaras came and they gave this Chavana Maharshi a very, very healthy, attractive body. The king went back to the palace. Later on, king came to visit the daughter and saw this husband with very fully health. Whereas Chavana Maharshi looked extremely in a awful state. The body was fully finished and only few bones sticking out. That's all it was. But now he saw a completely healthy person. And the king asked Sukanya, what is this happened? So Sukanya explained to the king what happened to the Chavana Maharshi. So it is this Chavana Maharshi whose mercy you can see there, the anthill is spoken there about that. So similarly you will see here also, like the anthill grows around the ants, around this baby's body, the body grows. And after the birth, a little time after it has passed, then that child has no more control over that body. No more control over the body. And then you can see the hand will go in one direction, leg will go in another direction, and there is no control at all. And it is present in this world in that form. So, and that child is sitting in this world in that particular form, and it is generally referred to as Bodhakaniya. Bodhakaniya means it is a minute presence of consciousness. Bodhakaniya. Minute presence of consciousness. Bodhakaniya, if it is not like that, it is pure nature is Bhuma. Bhumava, like the Upanishad says. Bhumava means unlimited consciousness it is. Only when it has started functioning through the body, when it has identified with this new body, and when the body starts growing, it is then that his identification, he loses with the pure consciousness, and he becomes a simple bodhaganiya. Bodhaganiya means a limited consciousness. Limited consciousness. So, because when it was, before it got its identification with the body, before it got identification with the body, his consciousness was all pervading. Consciousness was all pervading. And that is why you see those children at that age so happy. You see that? Before the children in that age, before it got identified with the body, identified with the world, when it was only in its pure consciousness, before it started identifying with the body, you will see that they look brilliant, isn't it? When you look at the baby's faces. Remember, we said this before also, that when it comes from the many, many hours of sleep, the baby sleeps. And when the baby wakes up, baby is full of vitality and looks very fresh in the face. And when we wake up, better not to discuss that, isn't it? So, why is that happening like that? The baby is sleeping, we are also sleeping. Why is this difference? Because Karana Shariram and its Sushma Shariram is empty for the baby. Karana Shariram is full. And because it is like that, and we, because our Sushma Shariram is filled up with all sorts of things, vasanas and all kinds of sangalpams and desires inside, therefore our Sushma Shariram is polluted with that. Similarly, this baby's freshness, what you see from at that stage, is also due to this fact that its Sushma Shariram has no life at all. It's practically empty. And there is no vasanas inside. It is not identifying with the body. It doesn't have any of the problems what we have got in our Sushma Shariram. That is why the baby looks so fresh and looks so beautiful at that time. And therefore, consciously, if you can go back to that state of the baby, like the baby was, if you can do that, we will also receive the same happiness like the baby has. So, so the power of the children, that baby in that stage, is this. First thing is that it doesn't know anything outside. That is its first strength. Baby doesn't know anything outside, isn't it? We know too much, that's the problem. We know everything in this world. And therefore we have got problems. Baby doesn't know anything, therefore that is its first strength. Not only that, it does not even know its own body. That identity hasn't come. And not only that, what to talk about, because it does not know its own body, even the ego, what is gone in our case to each individual cell in our body, ahankaram or abhimanam, what it is there, that hasn't happened to the baby yet. It doesn't happen to the body yet. Later on, when he keeps on identifying with the body, adhyasam begins. And little by little, he starts realizing, it's all me, it's all me, it's all me. And the me develops, I am this body, and every object outside is for me, is for me. And he realizes that making contact with this body, it's mine. And in that way, he comes to the plane of avidya. He comes to the plane of the field of avidya or ignorance. And when the child comes to that stage, we feel peaceful. Up to that time, mother, father is concerned. We'll take this specialist, that specialist. Everyone, the child is not speaking, we are concerned. Oh, child is not speaking. Go to the pediatrician to find out what has happened. Something like that. And this is the material life. This is our life in this world. So see how we get trapped in all these things, isn't it? So when the child has become like us, then we feel we have done a good job. So this personality what we have created is not our personality. This is not our personality. And then this personality, we put all the cap and the feather on that. That's what the rest of the life is. putting the cap and the feather to that personality, that is what the rest of the life. We send him to school, then he goes to college, then he goes to work, and then feather after feather, you keep on adding on to that hat. And then that it becomes the, and this thing, in the name of doing all this, putting this feather and the cap, it is called adhyasam. It is called adhyasam. Adhyasam over adhyasam. That's what they say. So Vedantam calls it by this word adhyasam. And it is a very severe disease. It's a very heavy disease, this adhyasam. So in the Viveka Chudamani, you will see about this adhyasam, so many verses. And he mentions there, adhyasam abhayanam kuru. Adhyasam abhayanam kuru. Little by little, you have to remove this adhyasam from inside. Adhyasam from inside. And because it is these things, what you have piled upon the child, is actually covering your real identity inside. You have to understand it this way only. Because we are thinking, I'll study a lot of books, I'll realize the self, I'll meet a self-realized soul and he will going to make me understand, or I'll take initiation or the guru will do it for me. All sorts of understanding like that. But in reality, what has actually happened, that by our very nature, Atma has no coverage. Atma is not bound by anything. Atma is always pure. Asangoyam, 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 puna puna. Sachidananda rūpoham ahamevaham aveyam. Satyachitānandam is our pure identity. But all the other identity what we have is due to adhyasam. Adhyasam it has happened. And remove that adhyasam from there and become independent. And it demands a lot of effort. Demands a lot of effort. To say this is very easy. To say this is very easy. Because so many things we have piled upon us, on our real identity, and you are still adding on to that, isn't it? The process hasn't stopped yet. So adhyasam is in many different ways. That also you have to remember this. Adhyasam is many different ways. Laugika, laugika means a material level, you have done a lot of adhyasam. Lot of adhyasam you have done. But there is a spiritual adhyasam, which is more difficult to get rid of. Material adhyasam is like this, to think yourself that I am, say, so for example, I'm a policeman, or I'm a professor, I am an engineer, I'm a doctor, I'm a politician, I'm a businessman. These are all material adhyasam, isn't it? Or to think that I'm a man, I'm a woman, also based on the material adhyasam. Or to think I'm an Indian, I'm an American, these are all material adhyasam. Material adhyasam is easy to cure. Do you understand? Material adhyasam is easy to cure. For example, lot of your identities you will lose over a period of time. Don't you? For example, suppose you are working as a engineer or a doctor or anything. Once you have left the profession, then you won't feel any attachment to that. You are not thinking anymore, I am a doctor. You won't be saying when you are leaving the body, I am a doctor. You won't be saying that, would you? The doctor was only there when you are doing that profession. Otherwise, what is doctor? Similarly, if you are an engineer, you will say, I was an engineer. I did the work of an engineer. I finished with that. You retired and gone with it. Finished. So, material adhyasam, many things. Similarly, identity with the land of birth. I am an Indian, I am an American, I am a European, all these things. Only for some time. Afterwards, you start realizing all these are bogus things anyway. All based on the body. When you have spiritual understanding, those things will naturally leave us in a proper way. So, laugigam, material level adhyasam, it is easier to leave. But, when more difficult adhyasam is the spiritual adhyasam. If somebody starts thinking, I am a sannyasi, then he is in trouble. He is in trouble because it is a spiritual adhyasam he has. He is not a sannyasi. That means he has to get rid of that adhyasam from inside. Sannyasi has got that problem. He is identifying with his body as a sannyasi. Lot of times you will see sannyasi saying, oh, I am a sannyasi, he says. As soon as he says that, it means that, that he starts thinking that I am a sannyasi. And he starts, sometimes some people among them also start thinking, I am very special. Because I am a sannyasi. I am very special. And this is why that adhyasam is very difficult to get rid of, because you don't know the problem inside. You already developed that adhyasam inside. A spiritual person always thinking, because natural way you start identifying with the sannyasi, or brahmachari will say, I am brahmachari. Or grihastha won't, because grihastha is always in distress. So it doesn't have time to identify with anything. It is only the other three, particularly these two, brahmachari and sannyasi, who will identify very easily. Grihastha is just trying to plug the holes in the whole life, that's what he's doing. So that it doesn't have any, somehow some peace in life to have a few days. And that's what grihastha is looking for. So grihastha doesn't feel much proud about it. Oh, I am a grihastha. Oh, I got all these things. He just suffer. He knows that it's a false contract he has signed. He has to get through it somehow and escape from here. That is all grihastha wants. He doesn't want anything else. Whether you recognize me or don't recognize me, doesn't matter. You do what you like, but don't bother me. That's all. I have enough trouble in my life, he said. So grihastha is not so much in problem. But sannyasi and a brahmachari, if he starts thinking that I am a sannyasi, I am a brahmachari, that adhyasam is difficult to get rid of from inside. So that is why he mentions here that for the materialistic person, laugiyam, for him, body is only a tool for using here, isn't it? Then for us, what is this body? Body is nothing but the body functions, I can carry on living like this. That means only for doing certain things in this world, I need this body. I need this body. In other words, it's a tool available for you to utilize in this world for some purpose, whatever it is. But this sannyasi and brahmachari, what happens to him is, if he starts identifying with this adhyasam builds up, I am a sannyasi, I am a realized soul, I am a jnani, or some false identification starts like that, his body starts becoming divine then, isn't it? He starts thinking if the body is very divine, at the same time he's thinking I am this body. So if he starts thinking like that I am this body, and body is divine, and I am a sannyasi and all that, or if he starts thinking I am a spiritual master, I am a guru, and I am a mahalpa, all these, this is all adhyasam. This is all part of that adhyasam. If that happens to him, he is in a much more difficult situation than the ordinary materialistic person is. His darkness, his avidya in him is much more deeper than the ordinary person who is identifying with his normal material body. This is the danger of the spiritual life. That, you know, so many people are taking sannyasam in this world, isn't it? And they are thinking that they have all become sannyasi, 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 everybody is saying like that. And so many others are saying they have become guru, 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 whatever that is, they are also saying like that. What will happen is, over a long period of time, you made a lot of disciples and everything, and they started thinking, I am a guru. If you have come to that identity, what will happen then? That till now, before they became a guru, they were some swami or yogi or whatever it is. Now what has happened? Another designation, another adhyasam has happened over you. That is why people in that stature, in guru and all that, must be fully realized the self. It is for this reason. If they are not realized, what is happening to them also, you have to look at their situation. Thousands of disciples, they are celebrating their appearance and disappearance or whatever that is, and telling them that you are a guru, you are a guru. And eventually it will happen the same thing like happened to Paundraga Vasudev. Remember in the Bhagavatam that story? Paundraga Vasudev, what happened? Everybody told him, you are Vasudev, not Krishna in the Dwaraka is not Vasudev. You are the real Vasudev, he said. Only a few days people had to tell him this. His so-called Selbandis or whatever they call it, Chamchas. They made this. They kept telling him and he started doubting himself. So similarly, guru also, if the disciples keep on telling him, you are the guru, you are the guru, they will also start thinking, I am a guru, haven't I? This thought will come naturally. But on the other hand, whatever Krishna has spoken in the Bhagavad Gita, വാട്ട് ഈസ് ദാറ്റ് തദ്വിധി ഉപദേക്ഷാന്തിയതേ ജ്ഞാനം ജ്ഞാനിന സത്വദർശിന ഓൾ ദോസ് തിങ്സ് ഡോണ്ട് അപ്ലൈ ദർ ഇസ് നോട്ട് പ്രസന്റ് ദർ ഓൺലി ദ ഡിസൈപ്പിൾസ് ഓഫ് പുട്ടിം ആസ് എ ഗുരു ആൻഡ് ഹി ഹാസ് അക്സെപ്റ്റഡ് ദ ജോബ് പൊസിഷൻ ഓൾസോ ആൻഡ് ദെൻ ഹി സ്റ്റാർട്ടഡ് തിങ്കിങ് ഐ ഹാവ് ബിക്കം എ ഗുരു ആൻഡ് ബിക്കോസ് ദർ ഈസ് നോ റിയലൈസേഷൻ ഓഫ് ദ സെൽഫ് ഇൻസൈഡ് വാട്ട് വിൽ ഹാപ്പൻ ഈസ് അറ്റ് വൺ പോയിന്റ് ഇൻ ടൈം ദാറ്റ് ഇറ്റ് സെൽഫ് വിൽ ബിക്കം എ പ്രോബ്ലം ഫോർ ഹിം ടു ഗെറ്റ് ഇറ്റ് ഓഫ് ദാറ്റ് ഐഡന്റിറ്റി ഫ്രം വിത്തിൻ This is a real problem. This is spoken by the realized souls who knows about this. That is why without going through the proper system of spiritual life, when Krishna is saying in the Bhagavad Gita, Upadekshandide jnanam jnanina tattva darshina, you can't have a clearer instruction than that. A tattva darshi must give upadesham of jnanam, of knowledge of the self to another person. Otherwise it will not work. It will not work. It's for this reason only. So, whereas a person who has identified, he can be a guru, he can be a sannyasi, he can be anything for that matter, any mahatma, so many things we call Maharaj, this, that, so many designations we address people like that, isn't it? So they are in a deeper ignorance than the ordinary person who is identifying with his body and doing his vyavaharam in this world. Because material avidya, you can get rid of. Spiritual avidya is more difficult to get rid of. You see, material avidya you can get rid of. Spiritual avidya is more difficult to get rid of from inside. So here, when all avidya goes away from inside, in reality what we are, that will come out. Adhyasam avayanam kuru. Adhyasam is not our natural state. so therefore it says here, you can see this every night when you go to sleep. What is happening there? All this, everything drops by itself. Even if you are a guru, in the deep sleep you are not a guru, are you? Even if you are a sannyasi, in the deep sleep you are not a sannyasi. So all designations you are dropping in the deep sleep. All adhyasam goes away in deep sleep, isn't it? So there is no brahmana, there is no kshatriya, there is no vaishya, there is no shudra, there is no brahmachari, there is no grihastha, there is no vanaprastha, there is no sannyasi. There is no engineer, there is no doctor, there is no scientist. And there is no America, there is no India. None of them. There is only what is there in the deep sleep. Only pure consciousness. Pure consciousness. So that is that what mentions there. That is our Swarupam. That consciousness is our pure Swarupam. Sachit Sukham Swarupam. That Satyam. Once that is realized, and if that alone is manifested inside, and if we have experienced that, then while sitting inside this body itself, you will get liberated. That's what Bhagavad Gita is saying to us. This first verse in this 14th chapter, Krishna is saying, Param Bhuya Pravakshyami Jnananam Jnanam Uttamam. Look at that verse. Shri Bhagavan Vacham, Param Bhuya Pravakshyami Jnananam Jnanam Uttamam. യജ്ഞാത്വാ മുനയഃ സർവേ പരാം സിദ്ധിമിതോ ഗതാഃ പരാം സിദ്ധിമിതോ ഗതാഃ ഓൾ ദീസ് തിങ്സ് വാട്ട് വി ആർ ടോക്കിംഗ് അബൌട്ട് ഈസ് ദാറ്റ് സ്റ്റേറ്റ് കൃഷ്ണ ഈസ് സേയിങ് ദർ ജ്ഞാനാനാം ജ്ഞാനമുത്തമം യജ്ഞാത്വാ മുനയഃ സർവേ പരാം സിദ്ധിം ഇതോ ഗതാഃ പരാം സിദ്ധിം ഇതോ ഗതാഃ കൃഷ്ണ ഈസ് സേയിങ് In other words, if this state has to come, which one? This param siddhim ito gataha. If that state has to come, you have to be completely freed from all adhyasam. All material and spiritual, both. You can't go to the spiritual world and say, look, I'm a sannyasi. I left everything. No, there is no sannyasam there. In spiritually realized state, there is no sannyasam is also an identification like Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. Brahmachari Krishna Vanaprastham Sannyasam also. Varnashrama Dharmam is only in this world. Once you leave, pure consciousness is neither sannyasi, nor brahmana, nor grihastha, nor vaishya, nor shudra, nothing. So that is what Krishna is saying here. That is why it's called jnananam jnanam uttamam, the knowledge which is beyond other knowledges. Because of that, that it is in that state of consciousness that you are released from the body, and that has to happen while you are within this body. Then you are liberated. Then you are liberated. And that person who has come out in this way, from the body, from the mind, from the intelligence, from all the adhyasam, from designations, he is called in Bhagavad Gita by different names. Some places you will see he is called Gunatitan, one who has transcended the three modes of material nature. Stita Prajnan, in the second chapter, that is how he is addressed. Jivan Mukta, another word used in the Bhagavad Gita. So, actually all these things is not a person. That's what you have to understand. Jivan Mukta, Stita Prajna, Gunadida, Dvandvadida, this is not a person, it is a state. It is a state. And this is the greatest invention in the Vedantam. In Vedantam, this is the greatest invention. We are always talking in terms of the person, isn't it? We see some person and says, oh, he is liberated. No. He is still, whether liberated or not, that is not the important thing. His state is important. His body is not important. We call a person is a sannyasi. No, that's not important. Is he in the sannyasam state? That is important. You see the difference there? The state in which a person is more important than what his body and the dress externally appears in front of us. Or the position what the world has given to him. All that is not important. And this is the greatest invention of the Vedantam. Vedantam is telling us that all these things in the Bhagavad Gita, Gunatitan, Stita Prajna, Jivan Mukta, and Brahmajnani, lot of words like this you will come across in the Bhagavad Gita, is it not? In different chapters, Krishna is addressing in different ways. Why is like that? Because it is the state that matters, not the person that matters. So, keeping that in the perspective, we must study Bhagavad Gita. That it is a state that is important to us. Body, what is the importance to this body? We are so used to identifying with the body. When we see someone somewhere and you see the form there, you start saying, oh, he is a sannyasi, or he is a guru, he is a jnani. So many ways we address him. Is it not? And that is our jnanam inside, our avidya. Actually, what you should be looking for, what is the state in that? That state is more important. Is he in the Stita Prajna state? Is he in the Jivanmukta state? Or is he in the Gunadita state? Or is he in the Dundvadita state? Various states what Krishna has spoken. And if you compare all these states, you will notice they are all one and the same. That's the beauty of that. Just like Krishna uses different terminology for Atma, Bodham, Prajna, Nyapti, Sutralma, and like that, various designations, Brahman. This realized state also, Krishna addresses it in different ways. In the second chapter, it is Stita Prajnato, what he calls it as. Isn't it? In the 14th chapter, which is three modes of material nature, after talking about all the three modes of material nature, Krishna says there is another state after transcending these three states of existence. Is called Gunatita. One who has reached that state, Krishna says he is Gunatita. Similarly, when you crosses the, goes beyond the two dualities of the material nature, you are Dvandvadita. And Siddha Prajna in the second chapter. So, and some other places Krishna says Jivan Muktaya Uchyate, Jivan Muktatvam, Jivan Mukta he is addressed as. So, because this is not an invention in that sense, because this is our natural state. Our natural state is that. That is our natural state. Here, you will notice, Krishna has not spoken about another Ishvara outside. He has not spoken. And he didn't say that, I will protect you, or anything like that. All he is saying is, I will expose you to the truth. That's a jnananam. Look at the words. പരംഭൂയ പ്രവക്ഷ്യാമി ജ്ഞാനാനാം ജ്ഞാനമുത്തമം യജ്ഞാത്വാ മുനയ സർവേ പരാം സിദ്ധിമിതോ ഗതാഹം. There is no reference that if you reach that state, I will protect you or Krishna will protect you. Nothing is mentioned in that verse. Krishna is saying like this that all it is that realize that state, that's it. It is over. The business is over. If you realize that state is more important. That is why Krishna is saying there, Jnananam, Jnanamuttamam. They have reached that state and they have reached perfection. They have reached perfection. There is nothing else spoken there. That is not saying there that I will show you. Krishna is not saying I will show you the truth. He is not saying that. Nor is he saying that I will protect you. Like so many other times Krishna has spoken to the devotees language. But when it comes to knowledge, Krishna is saying, realize it and that's what you are. Then there is no more protection required. You don't need any protection after that. Protection and all is or when you are identifying with the body, isn't it? Only when your identification with the body is very strong, you feel fearful inside. You need a shelter and then you need protection. All this shelter, protection, everything is when you are in identification with the body. But when you have got released from this body once for all, and this state has happened, sthita prajna, jivan mukta or gunadita state has happened, then what protection for him? Krishna says, that's it. That's the end of the story. End of the story. So, after showing that, you will see this in the, while a disciple goes to the spiritual master, and the discussion between the disciple and the spiritual master. All these things are important between the disciple and the spiritual master, what has happened. Disciple goes to the spiritual master and says to him that this is my situation. My situation is like this, he says. My situation is like this. What is that situation? Situation, he says to him, I am ignorant. I am ignorant. I don't know what is the reality. Then he says here,
Durvara samsaram dhavagni taptam dhubhuyamanam duradrishtavadehi vidam prapannam paribahi bhutmrityo sharanam anyadyamaham na jane.
This is the disciple saying to the spiritual master. He is saying to him,
Durvara samsara dhavagni taptam. Durvara samsara dhavagni taptam.
I am burning in the fire of this material existence. And I do not know what is this. Dodhuyamanam duradrishtavate. And this forest of the material life existence, I am completely shaken violently by the winds. What is going through this material life? Going through the material life. And I am terrified.
Vedam prapannam.
I am frightened and I completely take your shelter.
Paribahi mrityu sharanyam anyad aham na jane.
I am frightened about this life and I am frightened about death as well. Frightened about death as well. And I do not know, sharanyam anyadyam aham na jane. I don't know anyone else where I can take shelter. This is the surrender nature of the disciple to the spiritual master. And then it says here that when he surrenders like this to the spiritual master, so he comes to the spiritual master and the disciple says to him that I am frightened about death. Death is standing in front of me. And I also know that everything that I have acquired in my life, I am going to lose one day. This is proper spiritual understanding of life. Spiritual understanding is not all the other things what we do in this world. This is that really from the heart, a person experiencing this. Death is standing in front. It's going to create a lot of problems. I do not know what is going to happen. to me after leaving this body, that fear inside. So a proper disciple first must have this fear inside that it is going to happen. One day this body is going to go. Along with that, I have absorbed in various activities in this world to acquire wealth and to acquire shelter of various things. But now I have come to understand that wherever I have taken shelter is all false shelter. This realization. First thing, realization that death is going to come and death is going to take you into a very difficult situation. Everything you will lose in one lot. Everything is going to go. Secondly, I have taken a lot of false things as my shelter and I have surrendered to that. The result is that I am not feeling comfortable with the situation now. So, Dhruvara Samsara Navagni Taptam, and it's burning me inside. So, naturally, a proper disciple is supposed to burn like this inside. Otherwise, he is not ready for spiritual life. That's what it means. This is why, before entering into spiritual life also, we have to look at ourselves. That are we really serious about spiritual life? If there is seriousness in spiritual life, these problems will be there in a person. You'll become so serious that he will be burning inside. Dhruvara samsara davagni taptam dodhuyamanam duradrishta vadehi bhidam prabhannam paribahi mrityu sharanyam anyadhyam aham na jane. I have no other shelter. So you can imagine, this is that stage when a disciple has to come to a spiritual master. That is when that proper way of approaching a spiritual master, when inside it is burning him with this. Shando mahando nivasandi sando vasanda vallokahitam charandaham tirno swayam bhima bhavarnavam jana nahedu nanyam abhinarayanta. After saying that, such a disciple who is in this state, when he approaches a spiritual master, what kind of spiritual master he should be? Shando mahando nivasandi sandoho vasandaval lokahitam charantaha. That person, there are many, many people, these are great souls who are great and magnanimous in their life and who want to do good to others. And as that the vasandaval lokahitam charandaha, just like vasandam, like the spring season when it comes, how people become happy when the spring comes. Similarly, it says, tirna swayam bhima bhavarnavam jana nahedan anyanavi tarayantaha. That they have actually crossed the ocean of birth and death. They themselves have crossed, who? These magnanimous souls, spiritual master. He must have crossed the cycle of birth and death, first thing. Remember, we talked about that so far, isn't it? That a person who has come and realized the truth, what does that mean? While living in the body here itself, he has freed himself from the grips of birth and death. So, in other words, his Swarupam, he has freed himself from all false identities. He knows what he is. And because the identity is very, very strong with the self, therefore, Shandaha, he is in Shanti all the time. Mahandaha, Nivasandi Sandhu, Vasandaval Lokahitam Charanda. They are such personalities, they have only one good intention in order to, whoever has taken shelter of them, to give them the transcendental knowledge and to make them also elevate them in their spiritual position. So, and the greatest thing for them is, nahedu nanyanavi tarayantaha. They don't have any desire for themselves. Their own benefit, they are not looking for anything. These are all the qualifications of a spiritual master who has come in the proper way, who has become a spiritual master. That is what Buddha is talking about. So he is saying to this disciple who has come like this, that he is saying that I have some solution for your problem. Who? To the disciple he is saying, I have a solution to your problem. And that process, I did not find it out. That process is not mine. In the past, many, many great rishis and sages, they have gone through that royal road, Rajamargam.
They have passed through that royal road, and if you will hear this carefully with Shraddha and attention, and if you are willing to take this message with Shraddha and ready to scrutinizingly study this and inquire in the engage in the self-inquiry, I can show you the way. This is how the spiritual master tells the disciple. And you will get released from here. Not only yourself, who else? Kulam pavitram janani kridartham vasundhara punyavadi jatena. And leenam vare brahmani yasya cheda apara sachil sukasakare smin. Leenam vare brahmani yasya cheda. If you will listen to it, what will happen is, not only yourself, like in the case of Prahlada, all your whole generations will get purified if you get liberated. Kulam pavitram janani kritartham. Not only the place where you are born, she will be glorified by your liberation. Your many generations will get liberated. That is the greatness. If one liberated person happens in a family, not only he gets liberated, many others before and after, like Prahlada was given that benediction, isn't it? Seven generations before and seven after will get liberated, he said. Krishna Nasimuthi says to Prahlada. Similarly, here also, kulam pavitram janani kritartham. Your whole that family race or completely gets purified. Kulam pavitram janani kritartham. That means that the place where you are born, she becomes glorified. She gets glorified, isn't it? Vasundhara punyavati cha thena. And Vasundhara punyavati cha thena, the mother who have given birth to you, she feels great fulfillment. Punyavati, she feels that she has done her mother's position as perfect. She feels perfection in her position. And this material world, the planet Earth, she feels satisfied by your touch. When your feet touches the Earth, she feels satisfaction from that. Kulam pavitram janani kritartham vasundhara punyavati cha thena. Then, what else? Apara sachil sugasagharesmin leenam pare brahmani yasya chetasa. That means, one whose mind, leenam pare brahmani yasya chetasa, means one whose mind is completely fixed in Brahman, or one who has realized the self, for him, his mother becomes satisfied in her life. And vasundhara, that means the place of birth, the mother earth gets satisfied, and therefore I will talk to you about that knowledge. This is the spiritual master's reply to the disciple. It says here, similarly, in the same way, just like the spiritual master talks to the disciple, Krishna is also saying to Arjuna here. That's what Krishna is doing here. You can see in that verse that then he says, if you look at that verse, param bhuya pravakshyami jnananam jnanam uttamam. You see that word bhuyaha. Bhuyaha, why does he say bhuyaha there? He says here that many times I have spoken this before, in so many other chapters. I have spoken this so many times. I will tell you again the same thing. That means Brahma Vidya is spoken always like, till it gets through to the disciple, spiritual master has to speak. Till the message gets in. So you can see there is a long, long way to go, is it not? That is why Krishna used the word param bhuya pravakshyami. Bhuya means again, he says, isn't it? Bhuya, again. That means I've already said all these things before. Again I'm going to tell you the same thing. Param bhuya pravakshyami. Once again I'm going to tell you the same thing. That's what I'm saying. What you hear in this chapter, what you heard in the previous chapters, in the 13th chapter, 7th chapter, 9th chapter, message is the same, Brahma Vidya. But Krishna is speaking again and again and again in different ways. He is saying this to Arjuna so that Arjuna gets released from this illusion, from the Brahman. And in the basically, because it has to be like that, it is basically Bhagavad Gita is addressed to all of us, is it not? Those who are in ignorance, they need Bhagavad Gita. Otherwise, you don't need Bhagavad Gita. Those who are in ignorance, they need Bhagavad Gita. So, ignorance won't go away till it is spoken many, many times in many, many different ways. That is why through different chapters, Krishna is keep on talking about the same thing, Brahmavidya, in different patterns, in different styles, it is spoken here. So, that is why, Param Bhuya Pravakshyami, I am again going to say the same thing. What I have already spoken many times, but again I am going to repeat this. Jnanaram, Jnanam Uttamam, King of all knowledge. Knowledge of all the knowledge. And many times I have spoken this in the Bhagavad Gita, and from the very beginning itself I have spoken. And why am I going to talk about this again and again? That is that question, isn't it? And the reason for that is, Shastram, there is a word called Avarti Asagand Upadesha. This is the answer for that. This is from the Brahma Sutra. Brahma Sutra says, Avarti Asakrit Upadeshad. Vedavyasa Maharshi's simple statement. Now understand what this means. Avarti Asakrit Upadeshad. Avarti means repetition. Repetition. So in Ayurveda, they will say certain medicines you have to repeat. Purifications. There's one thing called Kshirabala. I don't know whether you have heard. These are names related to Ayurvedic medicines. Kshiram is milk. The strength of milk. What they do, there's a loads of roots and plants from the forest they bring. Then they boil that in the milk. They boil it in the milk. After they boil it, whatever that is left behind, they'll pour more milk into it and again boil. And then they leave it and then it will condense. Then they'll pour more milk into it. Again boil. Again condense. In this way, milk and these plants, they will mix together very well every time when you boil, and there is some exchange happening between the plants and the milk. And when it is repeated 108 times, it becomes very expensive. And that medicine is used in many treatments. Ayurveda, they will use that. So, this repetition is called avarti. Keep on repeating the same thing, same message, Krishna is keep on repeating. And you start thinking that, why is the same thing again? Again repeating the same thing. It is necessary. That is Ayurveda system is like that. Though, so, then when the Ayurvedic physicians, when they give the medicines, they will, depending on the intensity of the disease, they will tell the patient, buy this medicine 100 times, 8 times repeated, or sometimes 51 times repeated, and depending on the patient's financial capacity also, sometimes 5 times repeated or 3 times repeated. The same medicine you can get based on the repetition. How many times you have repeated with this boiling with the milk. Kshirabala, it's called. Kshirabala means, kshiram is milk, bala means the power of the milk goes into that Ayurvedic medicine. And if you buy this 108 times purified one with the milk, very small bottle will cost you a lot of money. It costs a lot. And they are effective in certain diseases. They are very effective. And they know that, where to use it. And sometimes, and it doesn't do any damage to the body. That is the beauty of that. No damage to the body. Whereas, if you take any other ones from the modern medicine, either kidney will go or liver will go or something else will go. By the time you fix this, something else is ready for the the treatment, isn't it? And then you say, oh well, anyway, it's all going to go anyway one day. So that's how you console yourself with the modern medicine, isn't it? So that's quite common. That is the answer the doctors. Oh no, no, nothing will happen, they'll say. No, no, everything will go. It has, you have to take so many years before the kidney goes, they'll say. And if the kidney goes, the doctor knows he will not be in the job then, and you also won't be there. You're going to ask the doctor who has told you this, isn't it? So same business. But Ayurveda is not like that. Ayurveda, there are so many nice things like this. They know very well that body, if it is damaging the body, then it's not a medicine, isn't it?
It's you're plugging one hole and opening somewhere else is coming out the problem. Anyway, important thing here is that this Krishna is saying here that the asakrit, again and again here, this is the process. So that is why when I keep saying this, that never give up hearing Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam. It's not so interesting to keep on repeating the same thing, is it? It's also boring sometimes. But in order that this thing to get in, that is the process in the Vedic literature. Vedic system is like that. Because the ajnanam avidya inside is deeper, you got to keep hammering it till that avidya breaks inside. A lot of people have told, you may also have come across this. One person told me, why is Prabhupada keep on repeating the same thing again and again in the books, he says. I said, I told him that is a system, because even after you have gone through the whole thing, still nothing has happened to you. You are still feeling the same ajnanam inside, avidya hasn't gone. So many things like that. Prabhupada is continuously repeating in the books the same thing again and again and again and again. And people ask this question because that is the Vedic system. That if you don't repeat it, it is not through the mind and the brain that this is happening. It has to happen in another plane, not in the plane of ahankaram and intelligence and mind. It is in the chitta shuddhi, that is where it has to, chittam, that this has to happen. As we discussed about chittam. So, how long you have to hear if you ask that question? Till you get established in the truth, you have to hear. That's the answer. Till you get established in the truth, you have to hear. And people who knows this very well, if you observe carefully, you will note, people who knows this this principle, they will go from one Bhagavatam to another Bhagavatam to another Bhagavatam. They never give up. There are people who will spend hundreds and thousands of time continuously hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. For this reason only. This is the reason behind that. That by keep on hearing, you don't know how much ajnanam is inside, avidya is inside. You don't know when Antaryami from inside will respond to the... Because only when you are working through the mind and the brain, this problem is coming. That how many times have heard this and nothing has changed and you become very disappointed, isn't it? There's no question of any disappointment here because all of us have got in our ajnanam, avidya inside. Till it goes away, we have to hear. There is no choice. So, in Srimad Bhagavatam, if you observe, you will notice this. Shaunaka Maharshi says this. That this is the reason. Do you remember this part? If you have read Bhagavatam, you will notice this. Suda Goswami came to speak Srimad Bhagavatam to in Naimisharanyam, isn't it? So, Suda Goswami asked them, how long will you be staying here to hear Bhagavatam? How much time have you got? He said to them. And Shaunaka Maharshi says to him, knowing well the significance of that question, because if he has told Suda Goswami that we have got 7 days time, if you can finish up within that 7 days, it's okay. But if you don't have 7 days, then you may have to make it a little shorter. Like sometimes we say to people, isn't it, that a half an hour class is good. It's the best. If we can do it in 10 minutes, still better. Or if you can just send me an email, the best. This is us. We are like this. Everybody is like that. There is no difference at all. This is our conditioning. We have accepted like that everything. And we think that this is a business that you can finish in 10 minutes and 10 lifetimes it doesn't get finished. 10 lifetimes it doesn't get finished. Sometimes it can go like that. But that is why the reason, if you look at the Bhagavatam, you will see these verses there. I will not go into it now. That Shaunaka Maharshi was, Suta Goswami, as soon as you arrive, this is the first question he asked, how much time have you got? Just to know the pulse of the, and what was the reply, Shaunaka Maharshi says, we will not even go outside to go for the toilet or food. We'll sit here and listen to you. We'll sit here and listen to you because we have,
frightened to go out, he says. Frightened to go out. Because if you go outside from this satram, what is going on? Satram was going on, isn't it? Sahasra samamasada, 1000 years satram that is. If we go outside, Kali will affect us. Not only that, what else we have done? He says, suppose if we sit here, will we not die? Shavanagrishi says, no, we won't. What we have done? We have invited Yamadharmaraja also to come and sit here, along with us to listen Bhagavatam. So that, because he is here, nobody can die. This is all in the Bhagavatam, you can see. If you read the first chapter of the Bhagavatam, all these things are spoken there. Inviting, saying that we won't go out because Kali is present, number one. Because once you go outside means Kali will influence, like us. Kali will take care. Secondly, Yamadharma Raja himself is here to hear Srimad Bhagavatam from Sudha Goswami. And we have specially invited him, he says, Shavanagrishi says. We have specially invited him and brought him here and told him to sit with us. And because he is here, there is no question of death happening to anybody here. Because he is listener here, isn't he? So, therefore, he says, Yamadharmaraja also, Yamasyatudam asanam. And for his arrival here, we have put the kurcham. Kurcham is the word they use. Kurcham means that Iham Pulamrityu Shamitra Karmani. Shamitra Karmani, that's the words of the Bhagavatam. It says there, kurcham means through this darbhagras, they have a way of inviting Yamadharmaraja to come. And he is here. That's their sankalpam and he is there. So that means for 1000 years we have time to listen to you. This is what he said. And Sudha Goswami was obviously very pleased seeing their mood. Seeing their mood. You can see Bhagavadam when Parikshit and Shukha Brahmarshi spoke. Or Sudha Shaunaka Samvadam, Vedavyasa Maharshi, Narada Samvadam and all that. It's happening on a much higher level, isn't it? Higher plane. And we are trying to get that benefit of Bhagavatam in our limited situation. For them, in what a state of realization the speaker is and what a state of realization the listeners are, you can see all that. And even here, Sudha Shaunaka Samvadam is considered to be the third class speaker and listener. Who says that 1000 years we are sitting ready to listen to Bhagavatam. And Sudha Goswami, who heard Srimal Bhagavatam from Shukha Brahmarshi directly and who realized Bhagavatam, he is speaking. And still we say that they were not the best speaker and the best listener. This is the glory of the Srimal Bhagavatam. So, they have asked him, so they are sitting in the Salsangam. That's also Salsangam, isn't it? And they are sitting there. That is why, similarly, Krishna is saying to Arjuna, Bhuya eva prakshyami. I'm going to say this again. If you are able to get it, take it. That is the way Krishna's mood is now in this chapter. I will repeat again. If you get it, you got it. That's all. So in other words, Krishna is expecting Arjuna to be more attentive than any time before. He says to him, Jnananam Jnanam Uttamam. What is he saying? Jnananam Jnanam Uttamam. He says here. Now, this is also another important word there. Jnananam Jnanam Uttamam. For example, Jnanam, generally when Jnanam, when we say, in the Vedic terminology, knowledge of Vedam, if you have, 80% of the Vedam is Karmagandam, isn't it? Karmagandam is Vedam. 80% of the Vedam is Karmagandam. That means how to perform Yagam, Yajnam and different sacrifices. This is Vedam. So, knowledge of that Karmagandam is what is taken seriously and that is what was there at that time when Bhagavad Gita was spoken. It was in that context it was spoken. Knowledge of the Karmakanda. If you say, talk about the modern world today, you can say that our knowledge today, what we call it as knowledge, is not Karmakanda. Knowledge of the world, creation. That's our most of the knowledge is about, isn't it? And we call it as knowledge. So, we consider material knowledge as knowledge today. Today we consider material knowledge as knowledge today. But, Krishna is saying here, Jnananam Jnanam Uttamam. That means there is various kinds of knowledge existing then and now also. Then also various kinds of knowledge existed, Karmadandam and other kinds of material knowledge also. Today material knowledge is more prominent than the Karmadandam, is another kind of knowledge, is it not? So Krishna is saying, what is the speciality with this knowledge? Krishna says jnanana jnanam uttamam. Reason is that this knowledge what Krishna is talking about, Krishna says here, after yal jnatva munaya sarve param siddhimiho gataha, if this knowledge is received, then that person param siddhim gataha, he is gone from here, no more coming back to this material body, no more coming back to this material body. That is why it's called jnanam jnanam uttamam. It's not like any other knowledge. Knowledge is so many types of knowledge, is it not? We had knowledge, Karmakandam was a big knowledge. And similarly today, this material knowledge is big. Krishna is saying, this is jnananam jnanam uttamam. Knowledge of all the knowledge, like Krishna said in the earlier 9th chapter also. King of knowledge he called there. Here Krishna is saying, jnananam jnanam uttamam. The best of all the knowledge. The reason is, if this knowledge goes in, if this is realized, then yal jnatva munaya sarve, all those great munis and sages and rishis who have, after realizing this, param siddhim ito gataha, they have once for all released from this bondage of material life and the cycle of birth and death, they are completely released. That is the result of that. So we'll stop there today. I'll continue next Saturday. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.